You know what time it is. It's time to keep on rolling, bitch.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's www.facebook.com/ R, and then all one word, ROTRKROQ. That's www.facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
Yeah, except no.
Here's the thing, I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah, what was up with that?
All right, Americans, let's take it from the top.
And now,
this is the story of three couples who have chosen to share their lives with monkeys.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abinso. It's Tuesday morning, the 11th of June.
What's up, loser hosers?
No prep on that one.
I actually gave that a lot of thought.
No way.
Loser hosers, because that's Toronto Raptors fans. In the last 5 seconds of the game, prepared to go wild to win their championship for the first time, and then it didn't happen. So that makes them a combination of losers and also hosers.
Because of the Canadian aspect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't think that's going to catch on?
No.
Because
no.
I just put $100,000 into T-shirts.
Oh, good. Oh. No, good.
No, that was smart.
Maybe workshop it.
And I got the domain name, and I'm all set for loser hosers.
Wow. Oh, man. Mm.
It's a commitment. You're all in on that already.
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Look, you can't dilly-dally.
Right, sure. Sell your Twitter stock
and
then put that all into this.
That's $45. That's all I got in Twitter. You can't dilly-dally, let somebody else beat you to a great idea. Next thing you know, they're rich. And I'm just sitting here going, what could have been?
You know? Right, sure. You, in turn, have become the loser hoser.
Correct.
Oh. I mean,
full circle.
The entire nation was ready to explode. Mm-hmm. And then it just didn't happen.
Right.
Sports, right?
Sports, huh?
Sports. Yeah.
Sports.
Loser hosers. Telling you, it's going to be big.
All right.
I'll give you guys a 20%, 15% discount if you put it in order today.
I'm going to pass.
Order for
a
T-shirt or
t-shirt,
hat.
Hat.
Okay. Yeah, a mouse pad. I mean, I got it all. Coffee cups, yeah. Dog sweaters. I mean, I just went for it. I got all Christmas ornaments.
All night just making this stuff.
Yeah, Allie, I got Christmas ornaments.
Oh, okay.
Loser hoser Christmas ornaments.
I'll look into it. Sounds good.
All right, good stuff. Hey, there's some controversy in Brooklyn. I don't know. Do you guys see the Burger King story?
Did not.
No.
So Burger King advertises on their website that they have the Impossible Burger. They don't.
Well, that seems bad.
So people who have been ordering the Impossible Burger for delivery through the Seamless page, I guess Seamless is another one of those food
delivery
services.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar with Seamless. So people have been ordering them, and it's been very, very popular. In fact, the number one most popular item at the store that people are ordering through Seamless. You know, it's rolled out. It started in St. Louis and rolled out into multiple cities, and it's expected to be available in all Burger Kings nationwide by the end of the year. For folks who don't know, this is among the most meat-like meats. It's vegetarian, but
you lost me at meat-like.
Tastes like meat. These Beyond Burgers, by the way, Kevin, I'm telling you,
I'm sure they're better.
No, they're great.
Yeah,
they're even better than the Impossible Burger.
Right,
the Beyond Burgers. I'm serious.
Of course.
Hey, trying to save the planet here, man.
Sure.
All right. So people would order the Impossible Burger, and it's on their menu, and they would put it in a bag that says Impossible Burger, and then the restaurant would give it to the delivery person for Seamless and say, we don't really have Impossible Burgers, so be sure to let the customer know when you drop it off that it's not an Impossible Burger, that it's a cow. Now,
why are you leaving it up to them?
They delivered a whole cow?
No, just a part of a cow that's been sliced up. Great question, Allie. Why would you even let it get to that point where you're putting it on a non-employee to describe to your customer why you've just delivered something that they didn't order?
That's absurd.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I've ordered things that aren't in the store before, and they just say, we can't deliver it for you.
We're out of it, whatever.
Right, but don't you think that somebody, does this make sense, or is this just me? If somebody orders an Impossible Burger, they don't want a beef burger.
I'm going to say yes. That's
okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So you're bringing a beef burger to them. They're hungry. They're waiting. Knock on the door. Guy shows up with a beef burger and says, oh, by the way, this is made of cow. This isn't the Impossible Burger you ordered. What's the customer supposed to do at that point? Seems like a big, colossal waste of time to me.
Absolutely.
Seems like a lawsuit.
I'm wondering.
Do they not make it? Do they make it anywhere?
Yes. They have it in multiple cities. Okay. Not in Brooklyn yet. So why is it even on the menu? Right. Why is it even available for people? And then why do they compound the problem by sending a dude out there to deliver it, right? Well, as you could imagine, the drivers who work for Seamless, they got no skin in this game. They don't work for Burger King. It's not their mistake. They just hand over the food.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Thank you. So now you're a customer who may be a vegetarian for health reasons or for animal cruelty reasons or for religious reasons, which I think makes it even worse. And now you've been handed this beef burger. Somebody said, Sue, is there a case here? I mean, what do you do in this case?
I would say it's false advertising, yeah.
Well, also, like, I don't know if there's a religious belief, but there has to be a religious belief against eating cows.
Look at India.
Yeah, if that person then eats cow and was sort of ordered something else, you would have a lawsuit.
I would think so, too. I mean, I don't know how they would put a... The other thing I can think is I know that there are a lot of people listening right now, and there would be a lot of people in the jury pool who would say, so you got a food that you didn't want. Big deal.
No, suck it up. Relax. That's ridiculous. This is the opposite of what you ordered.
Right.
Yeah. I disagree with them. I'm on your side. This is lawsuit time.
This isn't skinny fries versus steak fries.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You ordered a vegetarian item, and you got a meat item, right? And I can imagine it would do... You know, again, not to exaggerate, but for somebody, particularly for religious reasons, mm-hmm. or God forbid, health reasons, you're allergic. Is that a thing? Can you be allergic to meat?
Sure.
I would think that there could be some potential mental or physical damage.
Or cholesterol issues, and next thing you know, someone has a clogged artery.
Yeah,
dies.
I don't think one burger is going
to
do that.
Listen, stick
for
with
you.
Me. I'm trying to get a case.
Anyway, I just don't think they've handled it very well either, because although they have removed the Impossible Burger from the website. They say the issue has been corrected. The item is no longer available as an option, but they don't, you know, we apologize for any confusion, but they don't really, you know, they don't really kind of reach out to people. Hey, if this happened to you, you know, hook us up. We'll give you a gift card or something. I don't know. I just feel like something should be done.
Gift card seems minimal.
It does seem minimal.
So that you can again be screwed by the Impossible.
There wasn't a meeting anywhere in a conference room anywhere where they said, let's not put that on the website. We don't have it available.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing like that?
And then somebody else said, hey, why are we putting it in a bag that says Impossible
right.
Burger? And by the way, why do they have the Impossible Burger bags at the Burger King where they don't even sell the Impossible Burger? I just feel like it's almost like they went out of their way to be deceptive. And then let's tell this guy, oh, it's on you. You go ahead and let him know.
Hey, delivery guy.
I'm just saying I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. I think
we're all with you on that one.
I'm saying they're loser hosers is what I'm saying.
No. None of us are with you on
it's
that.
Not sticking.
Oh, I got a sweatshirt I can sell you.
Nope.
I got a sweatshirt. I got golf tees. I mean, I really went hard.
Golf tees. You've really merched it up.
Do you have a grill?
Sure. Right, you want a grill? That. I got your grill.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I got your grill.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Do you know that I wake up every day disappointed that I didn't die in the night?
Wow. That's rough. You thought that your dream was real and, in a lot of cases, acted on it.
Mm.
Like Bean's wife's been angry at him, and mine has too, by the way.
Multiple times.
Angry because there's a bad dream of you cheating or whatever it happens to be, and mm-hmm. they carry it right into real life, and you go,
yep.
Hey,
Was it me?
Was it a dream?
Didn't do it.
More than me doing that?
Yep.
Animal stories on the show today.
And then they say, that's your story.
as if
I was involved.
We also have DJ Khaled. He may be crazy. Is he crazy?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he's self-destructing for sure.
He already has way more success than he deserves, but apparently he's butthurt about not getting more.
Hmm. That's a weird situation. Comedian actor Rob Delaney will join us in studio. TV show is Catastrophe. And we have Blink 182.
Woo! Whoa.
Pretty excited about that. They're coming in to talk about Enema 20, their tour with Lil Wayne. They have an announcement to make as well that you might be interested in.
Enema is a word in an album title for folks who are confused by that plug.
Yeah.
Just
they all just had enemas, so yeah. They wanted to let us know how they went. Can't
Enema
wait to 20 hear.
Is their early New Year's resolution for next year. They would explain it to us.
Travis got a tattoo live on the air once, so he's stepping it up. It's time to get an enema live on air.
All right, so that's coming up this morning. We'll take a 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Now, thanks to this weekend's Weenie Roast, every time I hear a Lumineers song, I feel like I need to hear a Limp Bizkit song immediately afterwards. I don't know why, just one and two in my mind right now. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Tuesday?
Well, you can probably feel it.
What's going on?
Feel it.
The countdown has begun.
Countdown to...
It's only 10 months away.
10 months.
Coachella 2020.
Yay!
This Friday, June 14th, advance tickets go on sale for the next Coachella to be held April 10th through 12th and 17th
come on.
Through 19th.
Come on now.
General admission 3-day passes will cost you about $399 plus fees. And again, they're going to go through the festival's layaway plan if you want to do that. You don't want to pay that full amount up front. The one change is you can put a lower down payment of $25 to be followed by 6 monthly installments to pay off the balance.
But it's not even the 4th of July yet.
Right.
Much less Labor Day, much less right. Christmas. Didn't it used to go on sale like January, February?
It felt like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it did, but for a while it's been moving
forward.
Yeah,
they've been inching up.
Because the more money they can get before the lineup is announced, the better it is for them, correct?
They're probably going to start likely, doing it yeah. as you leave, as you exit
yes. right.
Coachella.
Right. Like,
you have to buy
card.
Tickets for the next year.
That would be kind of amazing.
Yeah, if you want to come back next year, you have to buy them now or you won't be allowed.
The advance on sale is scheduled to open at 11 a.m. Pacific time on Friday. And you're going to be limited to 4 passes each. And if you want to camp out, you're limited to 2 campsites per order. And obviously, there's no lineup.
Yeah.
That'll be in several months, so... Just kind of good faith that you're going to dig it.
Oh, speaking of faith, how about Limp Bizkit headlining?
I don't hate it.
Limp Bizkit for Coachella?
I like it.
I like it.
And I'd like to throw, since there's room, it's Coachella, let's get a little Clownvis on the act.
Oh, why not?
Right.
Why
fantastic.
Not?
A little Clownvis.
So this is being held in April, 10 months away.
Mm-hmm.
Woodstock 50 is being held August 16th and 18th.
I thought that was over.
Oh, no, it was back on.
Right.
But yesterday they lost their venue.
Oh.
So I feel like that's bad.
Venue
right?
as in Woodstock?
Watkins Glen International, bless you. Watkins Glen International terminated Woodstock 50's site license, leaving the troubled concert without a home. The racetrack cited its contract with Woodstock 50 for its reason for scrapping the permit. By the way, tickets still have not gone on sale for this.
Wow.
Again, and it's supposed to be in August.
August 16th. Through the 18th. At some point, dude, you'd have to just say...
Just call it.
This isn't
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
This
pull the
isn't
plug.
It.
It's turning into the Fyre Festival.
It's ridiculous. But they told TMZ we're in discussions to another venue to hold it, and we look forward to sharing the new location when tickets go on sale in the coming weeks.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to be held in Arkansas. It's the only place we could get on short notice.
I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
And are all the people that are on this bill just waiting? Or is
I can't
there like a contract where...
I can't imagine they haven't lost most of the bands by now, if not all.
Yeah, because if you're Santana, you're like, look, I can't keep that weekend blocked out if it's not happening. Yeah. I need to find other
Santana
work.
Needs
yeah,
work.
You didn't go Jay-Z, but you went Santana.
He's people very
in
popular.
Demand. Absolutely.
We got to send beer mug, though.
Do we know where?
Wherever.
Wherever.
Okay. Where in the world? Yeah. Right. Doesn't matter. Send them in.
Okay.
To do what, Jensen?
Basically Firefest it. I want to see what's going on at Woodstock.
Okay.
Yeah. We need a reporter on the ground.
Plus, if they need someone to stall, he's fantastic at it.
He's the guy. Found that out.
Yep. And he needs to wear the same outfit.
Correct.
As worth the Weenie Roast. The Hulu skirt.
A hula.
Dave did call it a Hulu skirt. Yeah.
Hulu?
Yeah.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. You guys, what side of the bed do you sleep on? Left side or the right side?
Well, facing the bed?
No, as you're laying in the bed.
Then I'm in
the
left side.
Or the right?
Okay. Left side.
Same.
Okay. Bean?
I'm trying to think. So, not facing the bed, being in the bed?
You're
correct,
in the bed.
Yeah.
I'm on the right side.
Yeah. Of course you are. People who sleep on the left side of the bed consider themselves more left-brained. People who sleep on the right consider themselves more right-brained. The statistic emerged in a new study of 2,000 Americans, which found that those who sleep on the left side are more likely to prefer oldies music and drama films, whereas the right side of the bed prefer rock film and action flicks. Kevin, you gotta move to the right side.
What's wrong with me? Part of my problem, maybe.
Although the stats also followed political affiliation. You right winger. Bean.
This is
sleeping on the right side of the bed.
This might be another one of the dumbest studies in history.
Yeah.
Am I just imagining this, or did I grow up hearing that the man should sleep on the side of the bed closest to the door?
Protection.
Correct. For protection in the event of a break-in.
That
right?
is why I picked the other side. I was like, I want to change. Women want equal rights. Let her get
protect
the killer
me.
First.
Sure.
Yeah.
You both aren't closest to the door, really?
I'm not closest to the door. Because here's why. We do have a reason, at least in this house, because I sleep next to an open door to the outside for the air, because I like it much colder than Donna does.
Oh, so, and the air doesn't go past you?
Well, it can be windy, and it's not as windy.
It stops right after you, the wind.
Right, it does. I block it.
Mine
but I'm saying, I mean, she's not practically outside like I am when I sleep. That's
okay.
Why.
Yeah. I just do it because she'll die first if someone comes in.
I mean, valid. Absolutely.
That's sweet.
The survey also revealed that right-siders tend to prefer wine over beer. Right, Bean? That's you.
No.
Left-siders are the opposite. So, beer over wine.
What?
Who? No dumbest sense. Study
no
ever.
Sense.
Who did this?
Someone.
I don't know. Good enough.
Good enough. However, speaking of sleeping, any of you use, apps that track your sleep?
No.
Nope.
I had one of those beds that does it, but then I returned it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
It was a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
I remember that. Well, they're saying, don't use those trackers because people are so stressed and obsessed with the trackers that they're not having adequate sleep. The condition is called orthosomnia. It can cause stress and anxiety, which produces hormones that keep you awake. So as you're laying there going, all right, well, at least tomorrow I'll wake up and find out, how much I slept. I'll look at my tracker. You're producing hormones that's keeping you awake, stressing about your sleep tracker. I mean,
this is all dumb.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's all a lot of work just to lay down.
You know who's not dumb?
Who?
Actual cannibal.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
It's his birthday, you guys. Shia LaBeouf.
Happy birthday, Shia.
Do you remember that, Actual Cannibal?
Oh, sure. So good.
So good. Joshua Jackson, right?
Ooh.
Dawson's Creek. Mighty Ducks movies. Cruel Intentions. The Affair.
Fringe.
Fringe.
Fringe, right.
Good Lord. And, I mean, Hugh Laurie. You kidding? Who's better than Hugh Laurie?
I'm enjoying him very much. I'm on Hulu's Catch 22 right now.
Excellent.
Hugh Laurie is one of the stars. He's great on it.
Excellent. Loved him on Veep. Wonderful in House.
Mm-hmm. Great in everything.
And Peter Dinklage, right?
Good day.
Good day for birthday.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:50.
Hey, aren't they joining us later?
Blink-182, yes they are.
Fantastic. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Congratulations to Will Diaz from Gardena. He won his tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw. We got more great stuff to give away on the program today, including Six Flags Magic Mountain tickets and a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Toy Story 4
Plus the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Mm-hmm.
Right up front.
Actually, I think...
Giving away those tickets right up front.
Gotta get Limp Bizkit on.
That was Saturday.
Listen for a Limp Bizkit song?
Nope. Saturday. Okay. Already happened.
Okay.
But let's have Bizkit back next year. I'm down. Hallie, what's going on with you?
Well, I think one of the great things about being famous, like Adam Sandler, is if you want someone to perform at your daughter Sadie's bat mitzvah, you can just text them.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what he did with Adam Levine. He just texted him, and he said it was surprisingly easy. He said he's such a good dude. I texted him. He responded right away and said, yeah, I'll come by. He grew up out here. He used to go to bar mitzvahs in this place. So he swung by, did three songs. The crowd, every age, going crazy. Kids, adults, even my mother was horny. What, Adam?
What's going
Adam
on?
Adam Sandler. Goodness. But that's kind of a cool perk of being super famous, right?
Sure. Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
And his schedule is wide open now.
That is true. He does have a lot of time on his hands. So, an NSYNC reunion may be happening, you guys. Lance Bass recently told Variety that the popular 90s boy band has been discussing the possibilities of the new project. The talks obviously come after the group's mini reunion on stage with Ariana Grande at Coachella, and offers have been pouring in. Of course, a reunion will likely come without Justin Timberlake, who was also missing from the Coachella performance, but did show his support for his fellow bandmates. I will say this, you guys, after going to that mixtape tour show,
yeah,
sold out at the Hollywood Bowl,
uh-huh,
with Debbie Gibson, Tiffany,
mm-hmm,
Salt-N-Pepa,
right,
New Kids on the Block,
right,
Naughty by Nature.
Yeah.
People would want to see NSYNC regardless if Justin was there. Would they want to see him more if Justin was there? Sure.
Of course, I hope, yeah, so.
But
this isn't like losing Posh to the Spice Girls. Justin is the key figure of NSYNC.
Right, but Ali's saying she went to a show with this and it was went over huge.
No, but everyone was there.
She didn't see NSYNC.
Well,
she
saw Spinderella wasn't there.
Right, well, I mean.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, guys.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I think you need JT for it to be insane.
Or you need to replace him with someone who's...
Oh, you'd replace... I'm sure they'd have someone else.
Yeah, the Adam Lambert to Queen.
Well, but like, sure, when the Backstreet Boys were down a man, they just went out as a foursome. When,
AJ, right? Or no, right. Howie.
I thought it was Kevin who
I
was
I think
gone.
It was Jonas?
I don't remember. Boys to Men soldiered on when they lost a dude with just three
the
of them.
The deep voice guy.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to handle it, but I just think that JT is the face of that band. It'd be like the Pretenders going out without Chrissy, as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
I mean, that's a weird.
That seems a little strong.
God, it's almost worth filing.
Yeah. It's, well, it's just, it's so off base.
It's not right.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and file it.
You don't consider JT the lead singer of NSYNC?
I do, but
I do.
I don't think, well, yeah.
But he's not the only lead singer.
Right. Well, Chrissy Hynde is the only singer in that
right,
band.
Right, the only singer, period. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens. I wish them well.
I wish there was a young. This is something I've thought about many times, which is probably something I shouldn't admit. But who the young pop star that would actually do it is, like an Austin Mahomes or something like that. Like, mm-hmm, or that's not his name, is it? Yeah.
Is that a quarterback?
That's a quarterback.
Yeah,
guys. Probably I'm not good to get
good
this.
Good lord.
I'm not good at pop
say,
replacements.
Wait a minute. If he isn't joins, he in Kansas
be,
City.
That might
what
be really cool if he
name?
Joins
Austin something. Anyway, don't hire me to pick a replacement because I have been thinking about it way too long.
Oh, and Austin Powers.
And I think
although
a football player
should
join. Although
I'd love to see that quarterback up there with NSYNC, right? I think he'd kill it.
I think he'd be good or Dan Marino.
Okay.
Like an older guy who we know we can count on.
It is Austin Mahone, by the way.
It is his name?
That is his
what?
Name.
Thank you. Jesus, I'm good.
That is his name.
He would be good, right?
I'm thinking of Patrick Mahone.
By the way, that makes me the correct answer.
Yeah, we heard you.
Bean, don't you think that kid would be good? Now you're
not,
looking at him?
I'm not familiar. I mean, he's got the look, but right. I'm not really that familiar with Mr. Mahone's music.
Okay.
What about Patrick?
He's terrific. For sure.
He's terrific.
He's real good. You guys. What's going on? I don't even know. Hey, remember when Jensen ruined all of our lives by telling us about JoJo Siwa?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. She's that 16-year-old singer, YouTube star, former Dance Mom alum, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she had her makeup kit pulled from Claire's accessory stores after the FDA found the powder eyeshadows in the kit had tested positive for asbestos. I feel like that's a problem. You don't want that like really on your eyelid so much.
I would think not.
It was pulled immediately after the FDA released a statement about the alarming findings, and Claire's confirmed the company recalled the kit, quote, out of an abundance of caution. You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think that they picked the wrong person.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're right.
They obviously offered discounts and a full refund, actually, for anyone that purchased it. However,
does she still have the asbestos gum?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Or no.
I don't think that's true. But that led me to this story. A YouTube beauty guru has been accused of releasing a cosmetic line that features lipstick that is described as, quote, lumpy and hairy.
Oh, my. What?
That's what Danielle calls me.
What?
Lumpy and hairy.
That's so sweet.
Thank you.
Jaclyn Hill released Jaclyn Cosmetics 2 weeks ago, and some fans took to social media to complain about defective products. Some posted pictures of lumpy and hairy lipsticks.
That's fantastic.
Well, I want to smell it.
Jaclyn Hill took to Twitter to respond and said, if any of you are receiving lipsticks like this, please know that that is not hair. My factory used brand new white gloves to do quality control, and they shed all over my product. We switched to rubber gloves 2 days ago, and we will make sure it never happens again. Oh, you're about to apply lipstick, and you're like, why is it hairy?
Oh, man.
Right? Nobody wants that.
Now yeah. Hiring both locations.
Could be a fetish.
No.
Wow. I'm just saying, let's not kink shame, you know?
Wow.
Nope.
Hairy. Well, I haven't got a hairy lipstick fetish.
Yeah.
Right.
Very specific.
Yeah, very, yeah. Very specific. But you know what? To each his own.
Absolutely. So you're Ashley Tisdale.
Okay.
You know
go
her.
On. Go on.
She tweeted this about her neighbor, and I thought to myself, do you want to be calling out your neighbor for this? Thanks, @KevinSmith,
mm-hmm.
for scratching my mirror on my car and not stopping. Classy move, neighbor.
Goddamn, Kevin.
I mean, wouldn't you chat? Maybe knock on the door a little later in the day?
Yeah, I would think so.
But Smith replied, apologies. I drive like Cruella de Vil in the hills. However, I did do a courtesy stop, but then you pulled away first, and I was like, that's so Sharpay. Referencing her High School Musical character.
Mm-hmm.
She then accepted the apology and wrote, ha, with the smiley face. Do it offline, both of you.
Your neighbors. I tried to play it out of my head. I assume they have a tight street, right? Like very small.
Right.
And they have to pass each other.
Like a one-laner.
One-laner.
Yeah.
So then he touched on her window. He went to get out and she took off.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, I guess everything's fine.
Right.
Right?
By the way, I don't
know.
That seems fine
I think
to
I'm
me.
Team yeah. Kevin Smith on that
yeah,
one.
Same. Yeah.
I think I'm team leave it off of Twitter.
Yeah, again,
number
same.
One.
That sure. is probably the smartest team.
Interesting. Well, there
What's
you have
going
it.
On?
Well, I just told you. Some birthdays for you. Hugh Laurie, Joshua Jackson, Peter Dinklage, and Shia LaBeouf. Actual cannibal
Shia LaBeouf. Rob Delaney, also Blink-182, still coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. By the way, before we get into this next topic about getting in trouble because of somebody's dream, which I am interested in, congratulate me on my new pets.
Oh,
congratulations.
Congratulate
me on my new pets.
I'm very excited to hear what it is exactly because I, in
you
my mind, I imagine exotic.
We have they're temporary, unfortunately. We have a bee swarm in a tree in our yard right now. You know what a bee swarm is?
Yeah. It's a swarm of bees?
It's when a hive is too successful. It's got, they're, you know, and it's very rare these days is bees are in a lot of trouble, even though I'm all about them bees.
Sure.
But the hive becomes too successful and they accidentally somehow end up with a second queen. So the hive splits up and a
yes.
queen takes half the bees and the other queen stays with the other half. So I have about 2,000 honeybees in a tree in my yard right now.
And they're getting ready for war.
No,
they fight each other.
They're
you have
all
two queens, dude.
No, you can't have two queens. You know that. That's a fight to the death. So, so there's these thousands of bees that are all surrounding this queen and keeping her cool while she rests. And pretty sweet deal, Allie, if you can get that.
Yeah, sounds wonderful.
And then when she's ready, she will alert the rest of the bees to leave and go find a new hive. They'll go start a new hive someplace else. And it is the most fascinating thing to watch because you just look up in the sky and it's. Literally, it's about 2,000 bees.
Hey, queen.
In my front yard. And it's just been so much fun. I am really running out of names, though. I'm not going to lie when I tell you.
You're
it's
not
been
naming
tough.
Bees.
I'm naming as many of them as I can, but it's real tough.
Did you ever think about becoming a beekeeper? Because our guest later, Mark Hoppus, runs a full bee setup.
I have very much thought about becoming a beekeeper. Are you kidding me?
Many different times.
In England, Mark Hoppus had a full beekeeper set up. Three or four different full, I don't know what you would call them, but those boxes that have,
oh,
you know,
my God.
Yeah.
I need private instruction.
Jensen, way to go. Now that's all we're going to talk about when Blake comes in.
So hey, anyway, it's very exciting. And I guess the reason I wanted to mention is, A, I'm a proud papa here. But B, don't be afraid of bees, people. And if they're honeybees, you don't kill them. You don't.
How are you a proud papa?
Well, just because they're in my yard.
I see. Mm.
They're in my yard on my property. Mm. So anyway, my wife put it up on the Instagram yesterday, on her Instagram yesterday, if anyone follows her and wants to see the swarm. But it's been very exciting. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm sure. A lot of fun.
sounds like a blast.
I mean, it does really sound like a party. Can we all come?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would love to come to a yard with 2,000 bees.
Yeah.
right? All right, let's talk about Kevin. You had next on Kate Beckinsale when she broke up with Michael Sheen, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, because she
right?
seems crazy.
She seems like a lot of fun. When we've had her on the show before, she is adorable and she's fun and she's funny and she seems like she doesn't take herself too seriously and she seems to have a great time with her family. And that is why she's in the news right now. What happened here? What happened with her dream?
She had a dream that her 20-year-old was doing a ridiculous amount of cocaine. And when she woke up, she texted her daughter to ask her about that. Are you taking a lot of cocaine? Because I just had a very realistic dream.
So she didn't wake up and think, oh, that was a weird dream that I had, but clearly it's not real. She woke up thinking, oh, maybe I had a vision of something that's actually going on in real life and I should investigate.
Then she posted it, and this is the text. Are you doing a lot of cocaine?
Imagine getting that text out of the blue from your mother.
Her daughter says, ?... I'm doing zero cocaine. What's happening? And then she goes, hello?
Which I assume means she didn't respond.
She didn't at all.
Which is such a weird thing to write, are you doing cocaine? No, I'm not. And then no response.
And then her daughter says, I physically couldn't be doing less cocaine. And then she says, you can't send me that and then not go silent.
Correct.
Which is, of course, true. And then she said, I had a dream you were doing a lot, so I was mad. That's bizarre to wake up from a dream and go, must be true.
And I feel like if I'm going to send that to my daughter, I'm going to wait for her response and then reply back to it. I'm not going to let my daughter sit there going, my mother's a lunatic.
Yep.
She has lost her mind. What is happening?
Or that someone told her.
She does end with, you are a lunatic in capitals.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah.
And you don't want to think someone told your mom, you know, your daughter's doing
exactly.
a ton of coke.
Yeah.
What's that step, though, where she believed that it was a vision, that she was tapping into some reality that she didn't know about while she slept?
Have you ever had a dream that ends up giving you some sort of weird premonition?
Premonition? 99% of the time do not remember my dreams when I wake up.
I've had a ton of premonition dreams.
But also when you wake up, don't you go, oh, that was just a dream.
Yeah, I do
that
most of the
time. I would never text my kid and go, you doing a lot of cocaine?
Oh, obviously. But I'm saying I've had dreams that come true for sure.
That have come. That's a different story, though, I think.
Like this right here, Kevin and Bean is my dream. No. Like, I've had dreams before where, like, I wake up, someone showed up in my dream, and then that person I hadn't spoken to in 20 years, like, calls me the next day.
Yeah, that happens, I think, to a lot of people. There's just, like, some weird subliminal thing, or someone you haven't thought about in forever, boom, in your dream.
But I'd
you
like
run
to say
a
different topic.
Yeah.
Sure. This is a dream.
But hold on. How does that happen, Ellie?
I know. It's very weird.
Like, how does the universe make that happen?
I don't know. The universe is a funky bitch.
I feel like that's a different topic.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin, we got it. I'm just saying.
Kevin, we're riffing.
We're just having a conversation,
but I'm
Kevin.
Saying we're trying to head to a point here.
Boy, Kevin is the guy you don't want to stand next to at a party. I'll tell you that.
People like free-flowing convo, man.
Do they?
Why? So much stay on topic.
All right, we're going to take calls on your dream came true.
Nope.
No.
Well, then why don't you
stay
effing get to the point?
Stay on topic.
Right.
Okay. So, Allie, Jensen, yes. Kevin, have you ever had a dream that was so real that you believed when you woke up it was true?
I mean, what, 30 seconds or 4 hours? Makes a big difference.
Well,
because usually you come to your senses and you go, oh, that was stupid.
But it can stick with you. It can stick with you all day.
Yeah, but do you act on it? Ever.
That's the question.
Have you ever acted on it?
I have never, no.
Because Kate Beckinsale had the dream and acted on it.
Right.
Actually texted her daughter.
I had a friend, went over to her house for dinner, and she was very cold with her husband. And I was like, ooh, you guys have a fight? And I was just joking around. I'm like, hey, this is a fun dinner party. You guys going to be okay? And her husband said, and I quote, yeah, she had a dream that I cheated. She's been mad at me all day. And I looked at my friend and I said, you're psychotic.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Nuts. Yeah. But all day, she's like, I don't know. It was so realistic. There's got to be a reason I dreamt it.
Oh, no.
I was like, you're awful. Really, why are we at this dinner party? You should have canceled.
I do wake up sometimes and I go, oh, man. Oh, that's awful. And I look over and I go, oh, she's still here. It's like Danielle stayed with me.
You should thank your lucky stars every morning.
I do. But that, I do have that feeling where at first you're like, and then, oh, all's good. It was a dream.
I've never had a dream that I acted on, though, ever. Even just a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Usually you just have a dream and you go, that was a dream. And I'm glad that's not true.
Have you ever had a bad dream about someone and then called to check up on them?
I don't think so.
Oh, I've done that.
I have.
I don't think so.
Because that would be following
That'd
up
be following, yeah. Following
how up. Did your friend's husband slash partner, whatever you said, Allie, how, I mean, you can't dig your way out of that hole because you say, hey, it was just a dream. I didn't cheat on you. It's not my fault. And that doesn't make the wife feel any better, right?
Right.
Because she's convinced that something's going on because of how real it felt to her.
Yeah. He basically was making a joke out of it, which I think once we all were, she was kind of like, oh, maybe I am being a bit of a psycho. But you don't want to hear really from your husband, relax, stop being a psycho.
Does that help?
That doesn't help
doesn't
the situation
help.
I have found.
Okay. Write that note down.
But I think help. When we all started making fun of her, like, dude, you got to get over it.
All right, let's do Jade real quick before the break. We're talking about you had a dream or someone had a dream that was so realistic that they acted on it. And Jade is in Whittier to contribute to the conversation about her dad. Hey, Jade, what's up?
Hey, party people.
Hi.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah, no, I was about 7 years old, and I woke up for school, and my dad was in my room, like, ready to wake me up, but he was crying, and I was like, what's going on? And he ended up telling me, like, you're not going to school, you're going to just, like, spend the whole day with me. He took me to Toys R Us, and then he took me to Disneyland, and he just spent, like, the whole day with me because he dreamt, like, that I died, and I was so out of it. I didn't know why, but
what
I just remember enjoying it.
What a score for you.
Yeah. Right?
You're not going to school. All right. Oh, Disneyland? Mean, okay.
He wanted to make your last day on Earth as pleasurable as possible.
Yeah, I think he had a lot of regret. Maybe he yelled at me too many times, and he's like, man, I need to make it up to her.
At some point, did he tell you he had the dream, and did you say you're crazy?
No, I just kind of played along. I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to school. I was telling
you. Oh, good point. Yeah, if you tell them that, then you have to go to school.
Great.
That's a good point.
You got to go with it.
Yeah.
Jade, yeah.
You did the right thing. Take advantage of your father's delusion.
All right.
Thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening. What a happy, chipper voice, by the way,
guys,
for first thing in the morning from Jade.
A plot twist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Jade's a ghost.
We just got a call from a ghost.
Wow.
Whoa.
I didn't even think about that.
You're welcome.
Whoa, she was already dead, you guys.
Jade? Oh, Jade died on her way to Disneyland 20 years ago.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls out. All right, we're talking just before Death Cab for Cutie. Let's take one phone call. We're talking about people who had dreams and then acted on them. Andrew in Fontana, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sorry.
Your alarm's going off,
yeah,
dude.
My...
Where are you supposed to be right now?
Yeah, what's that alarm for?
I'm on my way to work, so I'm just getting phone calls from work.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
okay.
Phone call. Okay,
hey, where
gotcha.
Are you? Okay, go ahead.
Tell us about your dream.
So it actually wasn't my dream. It was my wife's dream, and I had woken up one morning, and she was just kind of above me, staring at me, and she was, I guess all night, she said she was contemplating punching me in the face because of the fact that she was... she had a dream and she thought it was so realistic and she thought I had cheated on her and I was laughing at her the whole time. So she just took it to like a whole nother level.
She stood over you with her fist clenched, ready to punch you in the face.
Yeah. She was just, she said that she was so upset. Like she was just contemplating. She thought that it was real and that she thought it was something that was going to be happening.
It's interesting to me that you say she took it to a whole nother level when you're the one who cheated on her. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, you don't have to lie. She knows.
Seriously.
No?
Okay. Oh, dude.
I don't want to say that all the calls that people had dreams are women.
Oh, that is interesting.
Seems to be going that direction.
Are you guys still married, Andrew?
Yeah, we are. We are. Oh. I knew she was always crazy. She was always crazy, but...
Are you still cheating?
I hope not.
You hope not?
Well, sounds like you got away with it.
That's awesome.
Sounds like you got away with it. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. 1-800-520-1067. What's the dream that you or your partner had and they acted on it? We'll take your calls next after Death Cab on K-Rock.
Have you ever had a dream that you had, you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
That's a great question.
I love it.
That's a great question.
When did your parents record that, Kevin? Because it's the quality is so good.
It's clear.
Like, did they have a tape recorder at the time?
How dare you?
When you were 14?
14.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about dreams that you acted on. It seems so real that you couldn't shake it when you woke up. Let's go to Santa Clarita, line 5. Please, let's say hi to our friend Candy.
Hey, Candy.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
We are good. Thanks
good.
For listening.
Thanks for holding. What's up?
Well, when I was about 5, I had a dream that I smelled smoke and my house was on fire. And my teddy bear was next to me telling me I need to wake up and start screaming that. And I was arguing with my teddy bear that I would get in trouble because I didn't smell smoke or think the house was on fire. And my teddy bear was, like, yelling at me, yes, you do, yes, you do, do it now, do it now. And I'm like, but I'm going to get in so much trouble. My dad's going to think I'm nuts. So somehow my teddy bear decided that, or kept talking to me, and I went ahead and woke up screaming, the house was on fire, and I smelled smoke everywhere, thinking, I'm in so much trouble.
But the house was on fire.
But was the house on fire?
It was on fire. The house was on fire.
Why? Well, is that a dream, then?
Sounds like he just became aware that the house was on fire.
Also, I want to throw out the theory that she set the house on fire just so that the teddy bear dream didn't seem
maybe
crazy.
It was the teddy bear that set the house on fire.
Yes.
Think of
that's my theory, too.
The teddy bear was actually red. You never know.
All right.
Okay.
Candy's
that wasn't
crazy.
A dream, but we're glad you called, and we're glad you're okay. We're glad you got away from that awful teddy bear. Thank you so much. Let's go to, we got some good ones here, you guys. You want to go to line 6? Let's say hi to Mary in L.A.
Hey, Mary.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
How's it going?
What's going on?
Good, thank you. What was your dream?
What's going on?
I'm from L.A., but my entire family's Peruvian. And I don't know if it's a Peruvian thing or it was just a my family thing, but basically when you have a bad dream, you have to say it before noon because it will come true.
You have to say it out loud? You have to tell people?
Yeah, you have to say it out loud. You got to tell the neighbor, tell the person you dreamt about, anyone. Like, it doesn't matter if you turn to your dog and say it, as long as you put it out there, you're going to be safe.
So I
had a dream that my grandma died. And I was like, no, she's healthy, she's fine. I was like 6 or 7 at the time, didn't think anything of it. And my mom was always consistent saying, like, you got to make sure you say it. I didn't say it, didn't think anything of it, and grandma died the week after. So I lived with the consciousness that I did it, that I killed her.
Well, you did. I mean, that's what we're saying.
I mean, that's science.
I've never spoken to a true murderer.
Right.
How did
you
go on?
You murdered your grandma.
Mary, I mean, look, I'm not disputing your story, but how old was your grandma when she died?
She was 89, so I'm like,
I just feel like at any time you could have thought your grandma would die, and at some point you were going to be right. The woman was 89.
She had like 20 more good years.
It didn't happen when she was 41. I mean,
being that sweet of you to try to talk someone out of the fact that they murdered their grandma, but we do have to face the facts.
Did you have a teddy bear?
No. I couldn't make eye contact with anyone at the funeral because I felt like they knew it was my fault.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that's a lot of shame. That's very sad, actually. Now I'm sad.
That's a lot to put on a 7-year-old for sure.
Hey, when we put her on hold, let's get her address and stuff, maybe turn it into the cops.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to...
Oh, we want more. You want to try to top that?
Oh, we don't need to.
No, one more.
One more.
He's committed.
All right.
Why you know what we always say, right?
Yep.
Why take one more when you can take one more too many?
Let's talk to Mike in La Palma. Hi.
Hi. I was, when I was a kid, I had this dog that I really loved. I had this vivid dream that the dog died. So I woke up and I was crying and I went downstairs and I told my dad that I had a dream Bear died. And Dad says, well, Bear didn't die, but he killed your cat.
Good morning, Mike.
Sounds like your household was pretty chill.
You want cereal or what do you want, Mike?
Comedian and actor Rob Delaney joins us coming up just after 8 o'clock here on the world famous K-Rock. And then a little bit later on this morning, Blink-182.
Thank you, Dave. Mm-hmm. That's a banner day right there.
Yeah.
I think I would listen to this show. And I know that I would listen to animal stories.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out.
about what they're up to.
Well, Allie, you happy?
Yes.
You proud of yourself?
Very.
How long have you been slut-shaming April the giraffe?
Oh, is she fake pregnant again?
Nope, she's done. They put her on birth control.
Oh.
April the giraffe.
That's because she wants to hoard up more.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
April the giraffe has had 5 kids, by the way. She's only 17. She's had 5 children already. It's about time they tied her tubes or something, right? She is at the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersburg, New York. Harpersville, New York, rather. She became very famous when the park decided to live stream her 4th pregnancy and then her 5th one. So she's a very popular viral giraffe.
More famous to some of us than others.
Well,
as being watched every minute of every day.
She's a delight.
He also paid for text updates.
I did. That's true. She was pregnant for 15 months, by the way, the second time, and 16 months the first time that we watched her on the live stream. Anyway. They've retired her, basically.
Hell of a live stream for 16 months.
Yep. She has retired it to 17, and I'm happy to say her giraffe insurance provider has covered her birth control, so she is going to be fine. They are moving on. You know how every once in a while on the local news you see a story that says, hey, be careful, we've seen coyotes in Brentwood, or there's a mountain lion or a bear got too close to somebody's house. Well, imagine if you were living in South Africa, and they came on the radio, and they said, hey, guys, we had a incident with the fence over there at the Kruger National Park. There are 14 lions on the loose.
Oh my God.
14 lions escaped from the game reserve. In a tweet, the province of Limpopo's government urged residents to stay alert. Captured, yes, they will be released back into the reserve. I don't know that I'm getting up and going to work if there's 14 lions out there.
Yeah, listen, I'm calling in sick because of lions.
Because of lions, right. I don't know. The news story that I saw yesterday did not seem like they were turning this into a big deal. It was just like, hey, heads up, you guys. If you happen to see a pride walking down the street, just be careful.
Hey, you know when lions, you know, walk down the street? Yeah.
You know, the movie Jumanji happened.
Right. The agricultural minister in Poland is in the news right now. He is receiving quite a bit of criticism after he proposed removing legal protections for beavers. You have not been able to kill and eat a beaver in Poland. And there's no secret why I'm doing this story. And the Polish agricultural minister would like to add beaver to the list of edible animals. He said there's a need to regulate the beaver numbers due to the damage that they cause every year to agricultural land. And even though you're allowed to kill them, you're not allowed to eat them. And he would like to change that. He would like to change the protection so that you could eat a beaver. Allie, your thoughts on eating beaver?
I mean, it depends on the taste. Some you have to steer clear of, and that's understandable. But, I mean, is it gamey?
If it's a delicious beaver, go ahead and go for it.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. It's all about the taste.
Yeah.
Beavers were commonly hunted for food in past centuries. According to most recent estimates, there are more than 55,000 beavers in Poland. Which is also the name of a movie I rented. Lufkin, Texas is where this story comes from. Police surrounded a house in eastern Texas because they had received a 911 call about a burglary in progress. The homeowner called and said, I just heard somebody breaking into my house. I heard the window breaking. I'm hiding in the closet, but I left my weapon in the kitchen. Officers rushed to the house for the break-in, obviously concerned that the gun could end up in the hands of the suspect. And they live-streamed this on Facebook, by the way, or they recorded it and put it up on Facebook after. You could actually see them surrounding the home, entering the home. Police, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. And then they came face-to-face with one very frightened deer. It was just a deer that broke into the house.
That was an awesome video. Everybody stand down. It's a deer.
Show me your hands. Show me your hands.
They kept saying that.
And it turns out
the deer's like, I don't know what to do.
And finally, and they shooed the deer out using chairs, by the way. Finally, a couple of alligator stories here, both in Florida, hard to believe. One woman woke up to a loud crash in her home. It wasn't a deer. It was an alligator who had broken into her kitchen and then into the wine cabinet. She told Fox 13 News that the alligator smashed the good stuff, which was her selection of red wine, did suffer some minor cuts, but the majority of the liquid on the floor was, in fact, wine, not blood. The alligator is going to be fine, and the police came and animal services came and took the alligator away. We don't think about that in our part of the world. That an alligator breaks in and starts getting into the liquor cabinet. And the other one is a couple planning a picnic along the banks of Lake Alice in Gainesville, Florida. One of them was being sent off to the military, so it was a pre-deployment send-off picnic. They had cheese and some salami, guacamole, watermelon, grapes, but because it's Florida, you also have alligators. An alligator climbed up onto the bank where their picnic was, annihilated an entire block of cheese, then moved on and had the salami, then took the watermelon, then took the grapes, and then took not only the guacamole, but the bowl that the guacamole was in. He put the whole bowl in his mouth and swam away. That alligator ruined the hell out of that picnic.
But a baller. That's a baller alligator right there.
And by the way, the common courtesy is to clean the bowl, put something else in it, and return it to the people that you borrowed it from, right? Well, you don't return Tupperware without something in it.
He still can.
I mean, I guess there's still
point.
Time.
He could definitely fill it up.
Yeah.
But send it back. Far,
oh, Jensen.
Good God.
We're all having fun. And that's Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your...
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hey, listen to K-Rock all week long, and that includes now during the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to win your tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain. You can head to KROQ.com for another chance to win, but we got them for you coming up along with Rob Delaney, both happening in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, take it away.
You know this Quibi?
What's going on?
The mobile-based streaming service is going to do little shows, episodes running about 7 to 10 minutes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Set to launch April 6, 2020. It was founded by Jeffrey Katzenberg. Well, Jeffrey Katzenberg just told the story about Spielberg came in and said, I have a super scary story I want to do. He's writing it himself. He hasn't written anything in a while, so getting him to write something is fantastic. He requested that the 10 to 12 chapter story only be viewable after midnight.
I love it.
It's great. It's a great idea.
I love it.
So the Quibi team came up with an in-app clock that it's going to count down until sunset, giving viewers a limited window to watch the series each night. It's going to be called Spielberg's After Dark. You guys, that's brilliant.
That is brilliant. Yeah.
Clever. I'll never see it.
Okay. All right, but you like the idea of it.
Yeah, if it's after midnight, mm-hmm. How am I going to see it?
Well, a VPN. I mean,
always weekends.
I'm trying to think.
It's not really after midnight, but it's basically after
sundown,
dark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can handle that. Okay. Wow, he did write Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wrote the screenplay for Poltergeist, too.
Yeah.
He's
got some scary stuff happening in that noggin.
Yeah.
Absolutely. By the way, some other series in the works include a court show featuring Chrissy Teigen. Sorry, I hope you don't think Spielberg is doing these.
Okay.
I want to make sure
he's
don't
not
think.
In this
no, he's not involved with a court show featuring Chrissy Teigen, nor is he involved with the reimagined versions of Punked and Singled Out. However, I wish he was.
Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg brings you Punked.
Kind of be amazing.
Is
he the greatest motion picture director of all time?
I put Scorsese above him. But I think it goes
Scorsese. He has to be top
Scorsese,
five.
Then Spielberg.
Top five.
Yeah, I have
him
as two.
All right.
Yeah, Bean,
great discussion, everybody.
No opinion, Bean?
I think he's the greatest. I think Scorsese is amazing at what Scorsese does. Mm-hmm. But I think Spielberg does so many things so well. The fact that he could make a Jurassic Park and also make a Schindler's List.
In like the same year, by the way.
Yeah, I think that makes him the greatest of all time. I really do.
Ron Howard in the conversation?
He's
no?
up in the 10.
He's great.
Coen brothers, we could do this all day.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of good directors, but if you have to choose one, I think my money's on Spielberg.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we've done it, guys. We figured it out. Let's just pack up.
What about...
Is that our goal for today?
Tarantino.
Coppola. These are all top 10.
There are a lot
top
of good directors.
Spike Lee,
top 10er.
Can we think of any more?
Fincher, of course.
Top 10. What's his face?
Got to be top 10.
Yeah. Royal Tenenbaums guy.
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. Got to be on that list.
Yeah. Good list.
What about, I don't know, two of my favorites. No one's really talking about them right now. Polanski and Allen. Kidding. They're gross. Guys, one of the upcoming London episodes of The Late Late Show with James Corden is going to feature a star-studded U.S. versus U.K. dodgeball game.
This is great.
I love it.
Playing
this
on the
awesome.
American side, former
well,
First Lady.
Should we guess names? I mean, former First Lady, I know.
Well, no, because you've seen it. Bean has seen it.
I don't know if I even remember it.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah, I do. Okay, go.
Are you sure? Because I don't want to be interrupted five more times. Oh. Playing on the American side, former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Oh, can I guess?
I was waiting for one of you. Actors Kate Hudson, Melissa McCarthy, Mila Kunis, Allison Janney.
Let me guess.
Huh?
Let me guess.
Uh-huh.
Is the last one Alf?
No. Oh, that would be great. No.
Too bad.
Lena Waithe. But the British team is going to include Corden, Benedict Cumberbatch,
what?
Singer Harry Styles, Game of Thrones alum John Bradley, and Late Late Show bandleader Reggie Watts. That's an American. Does James not
What's
have
happening?
Any British friends? I mean, no offense,
I bet he does
James.
Like an accent in the whole thing.
Guys, are we missing the obvious here that it's also men versus women in addition to Americans versus British?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Well, I did say Cumberbatch, though. I mean, it's just he's got kind of that like fluid feel for me.
Sure.
Oh, let me guess.
Mm-hmm.
You gave us the whole list.
Yeah, I gave you all of them.
Names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
By the way, they're going to be doing this in England next week. The epic dodgeball game slated to air on June 17th on CBS.
It's a great idea. Now, dumb question, and I in no way mean this to be sexist. I honestly don't know the answer.
Yeah, it hurts when you hit the boobs.
Is dodgeball one of those sports where there is no advantage to being male or female? In other words, strength doesn't play a factor in it.
It definitely does. Speed of the ball thrown?
Speed of the ball is important.
Aim
is probably...
Agility?
Aim is the most important.
Yeah. So,
well, aim, though, you're not better or worse at it based on your sex. But I'm just saying, you're saying because you can throw harder, that makes it faster. So advantage male, it sounds like, in this
well,
game.
Well, because the rules of dodgeball involve catching it. If you catch it, the person's out.
Oh, true.
So if it's slower, it's easier to catch.
We're also talking British dudes. Like, I mean, let's not act like they're the athletes of the world. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you seen Michelle Obama's arms?
Yeah, British dudes are practically women. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Well, good luck in your move.
Have fun in England, Bean.
That's Bean at krock.com.
Yeah. Good times, you guys. Was that a burp?
No, it was a little chuckle.
Wow, excellent stuff. You guys, I just want to do this story real quick. A Nashville bachelorette... she was a party guest and went psycho, trashed the Airbnb in a booze-fueled rampage, earning her a trip to the hospital and then to jail. She did $1,900 worth of damage. Broken items reportedly destroyed, like two sets of blinds, a lamp, a chair, front windows broken with her foot, coffee table flipped upside down. She apparently drank two bottles of wine, and cops were called at 3 p.m.,
3 p.m.
3 p.m. is when I saw that. I was like, that can't be right. I'm just saying, homegirl did some partying at this event. Good stuff. All right, some birthdays. Man. Birthdays for you. Peter Dinklage, Joshua Jackson, Hugh Laurie, and Shia LaBeouf.
You guys remember Rob Cantor, the guy that did the song? Where people
actual
are running
cannibal?
Through the people are running through the forest from Shia LaBeouf because he's an actual cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane and one of my favorites of all time.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
I mean, come on.
So
is there anything better?
No.
Right. I agree.
It's off.
And that's what happened. That's what's happened.
Wow, look who's come home with his tail between his legs. Look who all of a sudden remembered that America exists. How about that?
It's good
Rob
to be back.
Delaney.
Hi, friends.
Yay.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Comedian, author, actor, writer, producer, tweeter, national anthem singer. The man has done it all. A favorite of the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years, but it's been a while since we've had you in studio. How's it been going?
Good. I live in London. I drive one of those big red double-decker buses.
Oh, and, you drive it.
That's my life now. Eat fish and chips. And, yeah, no.
Did you see that happening to you?
at any point? Like, was that a place where you went, oh, my God, that would be great someday?
No.
Like
I mean,
Bean
I liked it, you know. But I lived in L.A., and I was, you know, making pilots here and doing stand-up and trying to get things off the ground here. So where plenty of TV is made. So it's crazy that I wound up in London. I was literally doing stand-up over there, and the BBC said, hey, do you want to write a pilot script for us? And I said, yes, please, BBC. And I wrote it and gave it to them with Sharon Horgan. And they said, oh, this is great. We don't want it. And so then we were like, well, before I go back to L.A., we'll give it to another network over there, Channel 4. And they were like, yeah, we'll do it. And then I thought, of course, it would be canceled. I mean, my wife took a leave of absence from her job teaching English.
No kidding. Knowing she would be back.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 3 months.
Exactly. And then I figured it would be canceled. And it just it didn't get canceled. What wound up happening, I mean, it's, you know, well-known history. It became a global sensation.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
The biggest show in every country. Four seasons deep. You won a BAFTA for it.
We did, yeah.
And the show is an
incredible honor.
It's so good, Rob.
Thank you.
And also, like, anyone who's followed Rob on Twitter over the years, like, he's so funny, but he'll make jokes about, like, the boobs of his neighbor. And, like, he was just he was such a ridiculous human. And then to turn on this show and see the heartfelt earnestness of it, everyone was blown away, and it's so great.
We're very kind. Thank
you. Rob, when you started this show, obviously your co-star Sharon was a big star in Britain.
Yeah.
Are you a big star in Britain now? Like walking down the street now?
I would say I'm somewhere between the Prime Minister, Theresa May, and my baker. the local
closer
bakery.
To which end?
Somewhere in the I don't know. I
Middle.
Mean, that's the eye of the beholder. But somewhere in there. So, yeah, big celeb.
What do you miss most about America and specifically Los Angeles living so far away?
You know, I realize I guess my answer to the last question kind of answers that. When I was saying, like, my baker, and you guys are probably like, oh, he pulled that up in his hat.
Yeah.
No, I have a baker. What
Who
is
has
nice
a baker?
In London, we have a baker and a greengrocer. It's nice. You can kind of get your fruit here and your bread there and all that stuff. So things are a little more quaint. But yeah, differences. Well, the NHS is amazing. You know, if you get sick in England, you go to the doctor and they don't ask you for 11 credit cards and a retinal scan. You know, they just take care of it. And it's not free. I mean, your taxes pay for it and stuff, but it is free at the point of use. So that's kind of amazing. I don't know really how I would leave that, especially with kids.
Sure.
I don't know I would come back here.
The only reason I wouldn't move to England, and I get that it's shallow, but that you can't plug things in the bathroom.
That's a great reason.
It's insane to me. Yeah. In order to blow dry your hair or curl your hair, you have to go out to like a different area.
This is true. In our bathroom, in the flat that we have, the plugs in the bathroom are like only
just for shavers.
Yeah. And I don't have a shaver.
No one does.
I mean, I'm covered in hair. And now
you
my
were up
wife
for Chewbacca
is,
at one point, right?
Yeah, I was. But
sorry that didn't work out for you.
I had to keep licking my lips. It was bad for when we were doing ADR because all the hair in my natural mouth made it hard for me to be. So it just didn't work out.
Hey, Rob, speaking of that, we were having this discussion off the air. We were talking behind your back. With Lemmy gone, do you have the greatest mustache left on Earth or no?
Well, here's what I'll say about my mustache is that it's the year of our Lord 2019 and people are, you know, they're doing ironic mustaches and stuff. Mine's not ironic. I like it. I'm happy with it. It's big and bold and
it's very Ron Burgundy.
Thank you.
We were not slacking on your mustache at all. We were saying, who's got a better one?
You're top of the heap right now.
Who's got a better one?
You're very kind.
Because, like, Selleck doesn't have it anymore. Trebek doesn't have it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Is it Sam Elliott? Would he be your primary competition?
He's got a beautiful mustache, too. And he's so good-looking, he's not afraid to really never trim it and let it go way down to his belly button. Whereas I don't do that. Yeah, my wife doesn't like it when I have a beard, but a mustache, she's like, look, I like it.
Because she has to?
She really does. Okay. She's afraid to admit it, or ashamed to it. Not afraid.
Okay. Do you anticipate staying in England?
I do.
Like, is that your home now? Obviously, you're raising your children there. They've been there a significant number of years now, where it feels like home.
Our oldest kids are 8 and 6, and they love their school, which is great, which we can walk to, and that's amazing. So, like, I love it here. I didn't flee here, but things are so, you know, plugged in over there. And it's totally viable also to have a career in film and TV and in stand-up. Oh, here's one of the good things, if there's any stand-ups listening. In America, when you tour, you got to get on a plane.
Yeah.
In the UK, I can perform at a big theater in Manchester or Birmingham, still drive back to London and be back in my bed by like 1:30 a.m.
Or take the train even.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of amazing. So nothing is pulling me back here. As much as I love it, it's just I also love it there.
At the end of the year, Bean is moving there.
I know.
Did you know that?
And I would, have you picked up any of the accent? Because I want you two to have an accent.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Not really. I mean, because...
Try it. Let's hear what...
What should I say? I don't know. It's always difficult when you're given...
That's very regal.
Oh, he has a way posher accent than I do.
You know, but you know, when you're asked to do it, it's like, what am I supposed to talk
about? All right, Bean, you do later this year, I'm moving to England.
Later this year, I'm moving to England.
Oh, God, that was good.
Right?
That's like Ringo.
Rob, Liverpool.
Ringo with a head injury.
Yeah. Rob, same words.
Later this year, I'm moving to England.
Oh, oh, you're much so much posher.
Watching Downton Abbey.
Wow.
That's impressive. So are you a, did you apply to be a citizen?
No. Okay, so this was amazing. You mentioned
how does it work?
You mentioned that our show won a BAFTA. Thank you. I know contractually you had to for me to appear on the show. I wouldn't be on if you didn't say that and that we were Emmy nominated. But so with the when we won the BAFTA, I was so excited. Not because it's great to have a BAFTA, but it is, but because that allowed me to get like the super like it's called I didn't name it, the exceptional talent visa.
Sweet.
Which is a long one. So I like was like doing a jig in the aisles when we got that award because that allowed me to stay there. Because otherwise I'd have to go to this suburb with all my kids and be in this bureaucratic tower for a whole day trying to get our visas renewed every 6 months.
What's it called again?
Exceptional talent visa.
Exceptional talent visa.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that is for, I mean, obviously for artists or people who really contribute to the culture.
Yeah. For job creators and people.
What's below that? The Bean will get.
Bean will probably get the friendly gentleman's séjour.
Okay.
You
know. Paul McCartney with a head wound. Visa.
Hey, Rob. You have a production crew or team or a management office or something where you need to hire a person for work?
Oh, hey, that's
and
a great
it
question.
Again.
Oh, I should say this. I right now am fulfilling a dream, which is to be like you guys. And for 4 weeks on BBC Radio 6 Music, I'm actually hosting a music show. Guy Garvey from the band Elbow is making a new record, right?
Listen to Allie. Oh, she's going to have a heart attack.
Allie's rolling around like a puppy on the
floor.
Is
that your favorite band of all time?
It is my favorite band.
Yeah, with
I love
good
Craig
reason.
Potter. I love Gary.
Yeah.
Okay. I just called him Gary Garvey. That's what I call
him. Yeah, when you get excited,
what?
Call him Gary.
Oh, my God.
So he's making a new record. Elbow's making a new record. And so Killian Murphy filled in for him for a few weeks. And then I got Killian Murphy fired. And now I'm doing
nice
it.
Work.
Oh, good.
He was just supposed to be on for a couple of weeks. You didn't get
I know. He was amazing.
They hired you and Martin Freeman, too, right?
That's right.
Both,
Martin Freeman comes after me. But anyway, yeah, so 4 weeks of getting to pick my own tunes and introduce them, and I love it. You know,
that's great.
I'd never wanted to do a podcast or anything just because I bore myself. I don't have enough that I
want
to say.
Well.
And so doing a radio, my God, you guys are the best. And so,
well, you get to pick your own music, too, which is great. So there's no Sublime on your show. But I'm saying Radio 6 is a wonder.
Oh, it's amazing.
And that is, and you're going to get hooked on that, and you're going to be sad when that internship
ends.
Oh,
I genuinely
You really
am.
Are.
So but, you don't have a job for Bean, is what you're saying.
No, the reason I mentioned that is because, I mean, there are absolutely opportunities, and I'm not the only American voice on British radio, and there's a lot of great stations, so I'm very optimistic for being.
Let's talk off the air,
I won't
Rob.
Help you, and I'll actively try to sabotage you, but there are opportunities out there for you.
Right. Let me put this question out there before the break, then, because we have many other things to talk about, but I can't believe I'm about to say this, because you know, Kevin, this goes against everything you know about me.
Okay.
Is there any chance, Rob... Mm-hmm. that you and I can be friends when I move to London.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'd like to be your friend.
Look, you can be his friend
I'm not going to beat around the bush.
Because you don't have to go anywhere and meet him. You don't have to do anything with
him. Well, occasionally I'd like to get together for
He'll email you like once a year. That's his idea of being a friend. So it's pretty simple.
Oh, that's what Kevin... That's how Kevin does friendship?
That's how he does it. So you're good. It's...
Yeah, yeah, no, that's magnificent. That's great. We can drink tea. I can make tea now like a British person. I was so scared to make tea for British guests when they come over to my house.
Sure, of course. It's a lot of pressure.
They don't even know. They drink it. They think they're drinking real tea.
And the sweetener or sugar goes in first, right? Then the tea, then the milk, right?
Somebody's been studying.
Yes.
I mean, that's how you do it. That's
if
a proper
cup. If you do sugar, I don't, but a lot of people do.
Wow, you are more manly than I ever imagined.
More on that after the break.
Rob DeLady is here. The show is called Catastrophe. You can see all four wonderful seasons on Amazon. Quick break. Back with Rob after this on K-Rob. Rob DeLady is in studio. Hang on, Kevin. I'm getting some information in my ear here.
Okay.
He's not?
acting going on.
We were told he was in Detective Pikachu. He's not.
Oh, I got cut from it.
We're going to have to. I'm sorry, Rob. We're out of time. We were misinformed when we booked you.
Oh, no, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, so you know what's funny is I got an email from the director being like, hey, do you have a second to chat? And I was like, oh, do I have a second to chat? I know what this is. And so then he called me. And I psyched myself up for it, and I figured he was going to say I was cut from the movie because I reviewed what I remembered my scenes in the movie, and I was like, fun as they were, I'm not sure that they were essential.
Not that important
to the story.
Sorry.
And it's funny because in Catastrophe, we sort of judge if an episode is good or not by how much stuff we had to cut out that we love. Mm-hmm. So you definitely have to do that. And so, yes, I'd like to be in that movie just because I'm vain or whatever, but and I like people to look at me and clap.
Sure.
But I understand the decision. Yeah. Like, it was not, it was like in the beginning, I talked to the main character and I'm like, so, gonna be doing some Pokemon. And then at the end, I'm like, did you do your Pokemons? And like, easy to see.
I feel like you buttoned it up, though.
Yeah, I know. No? The audience now is like, what? What was he doing that whole time?
Wait, the director called you?
Yeah.
Because here, you just find out on social media. There's
no, the director is a very nice guy named Rob Letterman, who I haven't seen Detective Pikachu yet, but he made Goosebumps.
Talk to this dork.
Jensen
saw it twice.
My wife and kids have seen it, but he made Goosebumps, RL Sinaptic, with Jack Black. Did you see that?
I did.
Amazing.
I did see it. It's better than it should be, much like Detective Pikachu now.
Yeah, I put it on with my kids, and I was like, yeah, let's watch some Goosebumps. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I've been hook, line, and sinker.
Is there any part of you, because you're always looking for the comedy in life, Rob, that thinks it's hilarious that you got cut out of Detective Pikachu, which may even be better than being in Detective Pikachu.
Do you know, here's a tortured metaphor for you. I think success is built, you know, you can capitalize on success, but then you also have to just get brutally bodied by failure and bad things. It's kind of like at the end of Back to the Future when they have the Mr. Fusion thing on the back of the flux capacitor.
Right.
It can use anything as fuel. Trash, you know, I mean, a rainbow, whatever. So I feel like I have a Mr. Fusion attached to my flux capacitor.
I see.
I love it when bad things happen.
You do.
I'm like, you think your bad thing's going to stop me? I just ate your bad thing and farted out a miracle. So when I got cut out of Detective Pikachu, I only grew stronger.
This is the voice of our friend Rob Delaney here at the Kevin and Bean Show talking about, among other things, Catastrophe Season 4, available along with the rest of the series on Amazon Prime. You are in another movie that is not Detective Pikachu that is coming out soon that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Starring Fat Russell Crowe.
No, in fact, that is a different Roger Ailes project.
What?
Roger Ailes in this film is played by John Lithgow.
Nice.
With a British accent?
Yeah, and since you brought him up, the way that I met him was he was sitting behind a monitor when me, like a, you know, not the lead in the film, is doing a scene, and he came out in all his gigantic fat makeup clapping and going, like, that was lovely. And he was the nicest guy in the world, and I couldn't believe, like a little kid, he was watching my stupid scene.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, but
it's nice to hear about people like that.
Yeah, so he plays Roger Ailes, who started Fox News and under Rupert Murdoch. And yeah, Charlize Theron plays Megyn Kelly in it, and I play Megyn Kelly's producer. So when Megyn Kelly is, you know, grappling with, do I blow the whistle on this guy? And, you know, really operating in a very murky gray area, I kind of confer with her about whether or not that's a good idea.
And then you're like, and Santa isn't black.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God, Santa is pitch black. Santa is so black you can't see him unless he smiles.
Now, forgive me if this is a dumb question, because obviously you're an actor and you can play any kind of character, but working at Fox News goes against everything you personally believe in. Was it a weird second skin to put on every day to go into work?
No, it wasn't because, first of all, it stars Charlize Theron, who's amazing, and all my scenes were with her. And then it's directed by Jay Roach, who made the Austin Powers movies.
Meet the Parents.
All the Meet the Parents movies. I mean, he's amazing. And so I knew that it wasn't going to be some, you know, propaganda screed in either direction. And what's really cool about it is, like, look, I don't want to have lunch with Megyn Kelly, right? I think that the stuff that she peddles is bad for our souls. However, she's still a human woman and doesn't deserve to be, you know,
spat on.
Of course.
And that's what was happening to a lot of the women there. So it's a super interesting story. So, I mean, of course, I read the script, which was written by Academy Award winner Charles Randolph, who wrote The Big Short. And I was like, yeah, I mean, this is amazing. People definitely are going to love this. And even more so if I'm in it.
So forgive me for the mix-up at the beginning, because there are those two competing projects. So right. Yours is a theatrical big screen,
is a film, yeah.
And the other one, I think, is a TV
show,
right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a TV series, right?
Yep.
Basically, a limited edition.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That sounds great. When's that, Rob?
I think that is – I can't say, honestly, because I don't exactly know, and I wouldn't want
to – Do you know if you're in it?
Yeah, right. I know people who've seen cuts of it, and I'm in it up to now, at least.
Today, okay.
Plenty of time to cut me out. But
I would like if they replaced you with Detective Pikachu, though.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Be a real slap
Not
in the
face.
The
first time.
How long are you in town for this time around, Rob?
Just a couple days, yeah.
Which restaurants are you going to insist on hitting while you're here that you've missed?
Well, I mean, I try to eat a couple meals a day at the Apple Pan on Pico.
Okay.
If I get the Apple Pan and then, like, tacos por favor in Santa Monica, good.
So all the biggies.
I'm good. Yeah, that's where I try to get most of my sustenance.
Rob Delaney, we love you. It's great to see you. We hope we'll stay in touch. We hope, I hope especially, you'll give me your number so we can be friends.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But before we let you go, Allie's got 60 seconds with. She's going to just rapid fire questions at you, and just first thing that comes to your mind, here's 60 seconds with Rob Delaney.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Is Die Hard a movie?
Yes.
What British word do you wish Americans used?
The C word. More.
Mine is Belland.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
Yes.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
A zebra.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger you pass in the street?
Is this infected?
Dream dinner date?
Stevie Wonder.
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
30-year-old Rob as a child. Because
you were hairy?
Because I was so big and hairy.
Aw, biggest difference between Brits and Americans?
Floss.
You could join the cast of any TV show, past or present. Which one would you choose?
Present, the OA, is my favorite show.
Okay. What was your first job?
Paperboy.
What do you think is your best trait?
The stomach hair.
What is your worst trait?
Toenails. Just that I have them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why
do I have toenails?
Rare.
I'd like to go back to your best trait, if we could, just for a second.
Stomach hair?
Stomach hair is an option.
People love it. Yeah.
The people love it. Okay.
Love it.
I also think we missed a word in Is Die Hard a Movie?
Yeah.
Oh, did you say that last miss?
Yes, you did.
What was the...
Is Die Hard a Christmas
movie?
I
love
it. But I just said, is it a movie?
Yes, you did.
Really?
Is Die Hard a Movie is what you said, yeah.
Well, is it?
Yeah,
Rob was correct.
Christmas movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob was correct.
Rob got that one right.
Blink 182 coming up in about a half hour, right after 9 o'clock here on the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think their big announcement's going to be, you guys?
Getting beekeeping as a job?
Oh,
all three. Ooh. All three of them, yeah.
Going on tour with Limp Bizkit, maybe?
Ooh. Don't joke.
Guess we'll have to wait and find out coming up after 9. First, though, speaking of music, Jensen, you have been, of course, you were the longtime rap correspondent here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you have been following a story that is really starting to bubble over right now.
It's great, especially for people who, and I think it's everyone, hate DJ Khaled.
Oh, I don't think it's unnaturally, but I hate him with the fire of a thousand suns.
Well,
it's insanity how much he just yells and promotes himself.
I get a lot of questions from people asking me what DJ Khaled does for a living. People don't fully understand it because he doesn't produce the song and he doesn't necessarily rap. He just yells his name. And what he does is he kind of curates these songs. Like the way back in the day the DJs in hip hop were putting together mixtapes and getting rappers to rap on certain beats, he does that, but now on sort of an album level.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
like
what Quincy Jones did to an extent.
Right. Yeah, but Quincy Jones
he
on the
produced.
Beginning of every album didn't go, Quincy Jones! Right? Or did he? Maybe I'm not.
He didn't. He didn't.
Okay.
He didn't jump in the middle of James Ingram singing and scream his own name. But does DJ, again, I don't know, I'm not that familiar with him, but does DJ Khaled deserve the credit for having the idea to put, say, Justin Bieber together with this producer and with this hook? Is he building the song?
No. If anything, he just gets credit for, I guess, technically producing, in a sense, like, make sure you're here at 7 p.m. We're all going to be
at
the studio. Yeah, I mean, that's the only credit I can fully give him. He doesn't necessarily have full visions. It's just he's been putting these records together. But really what he's become famous because of is his internet online presence.
Ugh.
He's very much online, always on Instagram talking about positivity and
major
keys.
Key
and
crap.
Just basically, he's like, if if Tony Robbins was like a rapper in a way, and it's very annoying and very it's both. Over the top.
Yeah.
So he had a new album come out last week. And it was called Father of Assad, which is a reference to his kid. And they put so much money into the marketing. I mean, he was everywhere from Saturday Night Live to he had a full Pepsi endorsement, all these things. And, you know, he's always talking about he the best, we the best, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. His album came in number two.
What a nightmare for him.
Behind L.A. rapper Tyler, the Creator's new album, which is Igor, which had almost no marketing on it. he was, you know, this is almost like an offshoot project to an extent for Tyler. It was like almost in a different persona, and there's no radio hits. None of these songs will ever be played on radio, and yet he still beat Khaled. And Page Six reported that DJ Khaled ran into his record label, screamed through things, told them that they did it wrong based on weird bundling, and now DJ Khaled doubling down is going to sue Billboard, the chart, so that he can become number one. Okay. Because he thinks they did it wrong and incorrectly.
I have a question for you. Number two isn't bad.
No.
Doesn't sound like a question, but it is. Why
not,
would he...
Because it's not the best.
Why? So what?
He needs,
why
would we he... the best. He needs to be number one.
But is he suing them because he thinks their methodology was biased against him? Like, in other words, other people's bundled packages get counted and his didn't for some
explain
reason?
Explain a bundled package.
Well, it started with Prince, and basically it was that you could buy a ticket to a Prince show and it would count as a record sale. It was amazing for Prince. He ended up becoming number one that week and sold a ton of albums, but they started to adjust case-by-case basis for those kind of things. So a bundle nowadays...
But wait, you got the album if you bought the
yes,
ticket.
Yes, if you get a ticket, okay. And they consider that an album sale.
Got it.
But then on top of that, nowadays you get a t-shirt. You know, Billie Eilish did a really big one recently. You get a t-shirt or, you know, certain things like that. Concert tickets aren't necessarily always able to do that anymore, mm-hmm. but they, you know, you're looking, kids these days don't buy physical copies or whatever, so they're trying to find ways.
They want the merch.
Yeah, they want the merch. And DJ Khaled actually posted something on his Instagram and then took it down, but listen to how petty this is.
I gotta say this too, I make albums so people can play it and you actually hear it, you know, driving your car, you hear another car playing it, you know, go to the barbershop, you hear them playing it, you know, turn the radio on and you hear them playing it, you know, it's playing everywhere. It's called great music. It's called albums that you actually hear the songs. Not no mysterious and you never hear it. On your dome.
So he's clearly
talking.
Yeah,
that's
right?
A way diss on Tyler, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So his bundle deal was with an energy drink, apparently. And he says that there were 100,000 downloads of his album that were sold through a bundle deal with an energy drink and that Billboard did not include that for whatever reason.
Yes.
And I don't think it – look, I'm no DJ Khaled fan here, but I don't think it's unfair for an artist to say – explain your methodology to me. If you're the Bible of the music industry, how are you compiling these numbers? I think that's a legit complaint.
But I think what you're not including is DJ Khaled's entire persona of positivity and encouraging other people and live your dreams and, you know, let everything. I mean, it just goes against everything he's been saying to be so engulfed in wanting to be the best. And he's not suing because he deserves payment on 100,000 that aren't being recorded. He's doing it purely for the record,
right.
And for the recognition of being number one, which in a couple weeks, by the way, we won't even care. It's not
we
even
don't care
come
now.
Up again. Yeah, it doesn't even come up. So.
I mean, this is a little bit like President Trump still claiming that he won the general election.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That I had more votes.
Yeah, and also...
Complaining about the methodology, you know, that of the Electoral College.
And for how extremely online DJ Khaled is, he has disabled comments on his Instagram, which
Whoa,
is shocking.
That right?
Considering how many times... I mean, the entire, I don't know, first 100 comments are, we number two! Or, you know, or like, major key for Tyler! Like, it's just people just trolling him all day. So.
But he's still going to McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
And you know how passionate I am about McDonald's. Check this out. Sausage biscuit, 89 cents all week. I love sausage biscuits. Let me tell you something about that sausage biscuit.
Yeah.
First of all, the biscuit.
Uh-huh. Oh.
It's so amazing.
It is?
Uh-huh. And that sausage.
Yeah.
When you take one bite, let me tell you something about that one bite.
Okay.
You be like... Now, this is what you call a good morning.
By the way, that is DJ Khaled in a nutshell, if you don't know anything about him. Look how long it took him to say, the biscuit's pretty good.
Yeah. Honestly, tremendous amount of hype, zero content.
Why didn't he bundle with McDonald's?
That's
what
right.
An idiot.
At least with the number two meal. Get it?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
Mark and Matt and Travis joining us in studio right after the top of the hour. It's Blink 182, you guys. And they claim they have an announcement.
I think they actually do have an announcement.
They're not claiming it.
They claim they have an announcement. Let's find out. People, everybody lies, man. You watched House. You learned that, right? Everybody lies. Hey, 8:51. Allie's here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday.
What's the House reference?
I didn't get that either.
It was a television show that was on.
Yeah, we know
right.
that.
What about the Everybody Lies?
And Dr. House said in almost every episode when patients didn't tell them the full story behind.
Oh, yeah.
That okay. Everybody
the hot,
lies.
The hot catchphrase of 2019 from House. Everybody lies.
Okay. Yes.
That's right. We see the shirt everywhere.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that.
No worries.
What's happening? I mean, at least there was an actual reason he said it. I just thought he was having a stroke. So I'm glad you're here. Guys, listen. The movie Toy Story 4, mm-hmm. it hits theaters June 20th. We're all very excited, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
It's going to be packed. That first weekend is going to be packed. So wouldn't you rather see it on June 18th with three of your friends? Because you're going to get a four-pack of passes to the advanced screening of Toy Story 4 at AMC Burbank.
Me like it.
That's what I'm saying. If you give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and since it's on June 18th, be caller 18, and you're going to get that four-pack of passes.
The most provocative story ever filmed. The most unusual story ever filmed. You must see it to believe it.
I mean, toys come to life, and this year there's a new toy named Forky.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's Tony Hale. I mean, just in case you weren't in with Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Keanu Reeves...
Key and Peele,
Christina Hendricks. You've got everyone in this movie. And then they're like, and Forky, played by Tony Hale. So in, you guys. Can't wait.
Sunset over fat balls.
Odd timing of that.
Okay. John Taffer, just weird. That was very odd.
Very strange. Guys, the countdown has begun. It's a mere 10 months away. The race to Coachella 2020 starts now.
I'm sorry?
Well, it starts Friday, June 14th, when advance tickets go on sale for the next Coachella. It's going to be held April 10th through the 12th.
I'm sorry, you said this Friday?
On sale, okay. Yeah. Advance tickets, yeah. And then again on the 17th through the 19th. General admission, three-day passes, again, about $399 plus fees. They are doing something a little different this year. You can do a lower down payment of $25, then follow it up by six monthly installments to pay off the balance.
Too soon.
So, not too soon. Got to get it done. Advance on sale scheduled to open at 11 a.m. this Friday, and buyers will be limited to four passes each. Those who plan to camp out, limited to two campsites per order.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how mm-hmm. to get tickets if I get down there.
Okay, well, I
just said Friday.
Yeah, I just said Friday. The advance tickets go on sale.
Yeah, but where do I? Mm-hmm. Where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there?
Is there?
Oh, is there? Well, it's on the festival's official website.
Yeah, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
no, it's not. It's not yet. It's next April.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I mean, probably.
I don't work there.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Yeah,
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No lineup.
Not sure if they're on the lineup.
No
it
lineup.
Hasn't been released, but Mr.
How
Hasselhoff.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert? Do you know?
20 miles?
Maybe? And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
We don't have all these details yet.
Yeah, it seems
mostly
early.
Later afternoon when the sun goes down.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
I know. Please stop calling us.
This is a mess.
By the way, those calls were all, I believe, the Friday of a Coachella, or was it Saturday? Like, it was literally the day of.
Yeah. Well, he's got until April to be making those calls now. So those tickets on sale on Friday. Tickets still not on sale for Woodstock 50. They've had a lot of issues.
I'm sorry, when's that?
Well, here's the thing. They've had the issues with the money issues. The financial backer pulled out and then said it was canceled. Then the guy heading it up was like, no, it's not. We're still doing it. The show is August 16th through the 18th. And yesterday, they just lost their venue. So Watkins Glen International, which is an upstate New York racetrack where it was going to be, just terminated Woodstock 50's site license. Oh, dear. So a rep for Woodstock has told TMZ, we are in discussions with another venue to host Woodstock 50 on August 16th through the 18th and look forward to sharing the new location when tickets go on sale in the coming weeks.
Stop it.
Tickets were supposed to go on sale, what, like a month and a half ago? Then they didn't. Then people started getting worried. Then the backers pulled out. And this is a nightmare.
It's not going to happen.
Call it a day.
It's okay.
Not realistic. It's just not realistic.
And honestly, what's better than Woodstock 50? Woodstock 51. Let's put all of our...
the big anniversary that people really go for.
Everyone knows
these
that.
These days, yeah.
51 is the big one. Anyone can get to 50. 51, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nightmare, you guys. It's just a nightmare. Speaking of mustaches, because we just had Rob Delaney in, mm-hmm. we were talking all about gorgeous mustaches.
Chef's kiss about his mustache. Beautiful.
More than 850 items from Burt Reynolds' life and career are set to go on sale the auction block June 15th and 16th. What kind of things? Oh, a replica of his Smokey and the Bandit car, 50-plus pairs of cowboy boots, his Cannonball Run belt buckle, and prints from, hold on to your boobies, ladies, from his 1972 Cosmo Centerfold. Right? Who is buying this stuff?
I can't imagine.
I thought he had way better stuff. Didn't he have a Burt Reynolds museum at one point down there in Florida?
Wouldn't it be awesome if this was all stuff the museum was selling? Yeah. They're like, we got to close this place. Forget no one's coming. I mean, would I love the Smokey and the Bandit car? Sure. Wouldn't you?
I mean, it's a replica, right?
Well, I mean, it's not the one they use in the movie,
but
I think it's like a running car.
No.
Okay.
What about toupees? How about the actual car that doesn't run?
No toupees for sale?
It doesn't say on here. Mm-mm, nope. But a Cannonball Run belt buckle, right? You can't have that made. That's authentic. That's good stuff right there.
For folks who don't know, younger audience, Burt Reynolds was the biggest movie star in the world 5 consecutive years. Back in the 1970s.
He was like one of the first major sex symbols of that era. Like, mm-hmm. he was like a cool dude.
Yeah.
The coolest dude.
Yeah, the coolest.
By the way, his Cannonball belt buckle, I'm looking at it, is awesome.
Is that
it's
right?
It's just the Cannonball car, and it's just a large belt buckle.
Yeah.
So like the van.
How much would you pay for it?
Well, it's estimated to draw $600, so I'll probably spend $601.
Okay. I love it. I Whatever hope you it takes. Get it. Mm-hmm. I hope you get it. Let's talk about some birthdays, shall we?
Oh. Jensen, would you wear that in the delivery room? Would it be that cool?
Yeah, while she's giving birth. Guys, yes. You guys see my belt buckle? 601. I bid the dollar more. It's mine.
You'd be the hit of that hospital wing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I'm looking through the auction. I'm going to buy something.
There's some stuff,
There's
right?
just a beautiful oil portrait of Lonnie Anderson. three different heads of hers, all glamour shots.
And where are you going to put that?
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
above the bed.
Okay. Yeah, and then, that goes in the bedroom
and
for
then,
sure.
And then also I could get his silk pajamas monogrammed BR on the chest. That's estimated to go between $600 and $800, so I'm in for $801.
Would you wear another man's pajama bottoms?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and the belt buckle on top of that. I don't even need to wear a belt, but I'm going to Burt Reynolds it up.
And get a cowboy hat to wear with it.
Yeah, and maybe buy one of his cowboy boots, which are also on sale.
You could be the new Burt Reynolds.
You know what?
Who's further from Burt Reynolds than Jensen Karp? Although, I think you could grow a sick mustache.
I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm missing a couple other Burt Reynolds things.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, you've got a full head of hair, so you win.
Okay.
Not that being bald is bad, guys out there.
I'm alive.
Want you to think that.
I'm alive, which is good.
And you're alive.
That helps, sure.
Wow. Let's wrap this up. Happy birthday, Joshua Jackson, Peter Dinklage, Shia LaBeouf. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. And strangely, from House... Catch 22, Hugh Laurie. Happy.
There are way fewer members in Blink 182 than I remember.
Yep.
We have the first one, the one.
We have the one.
Yep. Everyone comes into this interview as they join the band. I'm first.
Okay. You're first.
Travis
okay.
is behind me.
Oh, you arranged this. I didn't realize that.
That's how we do things now.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, good.
How are you, Mark Hoppus?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
What do you think of that? You're a cool dad. What do you think of that that little Billie Eilish?
William Eilish. She's great.
She's amazing,
she's
right?
Yeah, she's great. I think that she's really talented, and I think that she is bringing a breath of fresh air into this kind of quasi-alt-pop electronic thing.
Agreed.
Look at what kind of music she was making at 16 versus mm-hmm. what you were doing at 16.
No, that seems mean.
I was way better at 16. Okay. Yeah. It was just a shame because I was an unrecognized talent.
Right.
I was living
prodigy.
In the desert. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Hoppus.
Yeah, I was much more talented from day one.
Well, listen, your bandmates are behind you, and they'll be joining the interview in progress as they arrive. But there's a lot going on with Blink-182. You guys are gearing up for a hell of a summer.
Yeah.
And I guess the first question that I would have for you about the dates we already know about at the Forum and Five Point in August is, how did it come together that you and Lil Wayne are out there together?
It was an idea that was brought to us by CAA, who is our agency, and Live Nation, who is our promoter. And it was a mashing of genres that I thought was really cool. And I think that kids today and people today just generally don't care about genre anymore.
I think so. Amen.
I think that it's a really, I think it's a great thing. I think it's been coming for a long time. And yeah, people just like good music.
Travis called us and he said he thinks everyone's blaming him. He's like, oh, everybody's blaming me for
honestly, Travis has been on this from day one, from the very first day that I ever met him. He was into punk rock and heavy metal and thrash and hip-hop and everything.
He plays anything anyone wants him to play. It's crazy.
Travis invented and wrote the Baby Shark song. A lot of people don't realize that, but that was him. Travis came up with Baby Shark.
Totally.
Mark, I have a 5 foot by 4 foot. Think about that. That's a big painting of Lil Wayne in my living room.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Who did an oil painting that large of Lil Wayne?
It's a great question.
It's an artist named Ashley Longsworth, who is like Lil Wayne, a New Orleans native.
Okay.
And he is kind of the, you've been to New Orleans, he is kind of the unofficial, you know, mascot, basically, of the city of New Orleans. You see people paint his pictures on buildings everywhere. I mean,
nice.
He's like our mayor.
It is weird.
I mean?
They did a very cool video to announce the concert where it's like Wayne is. They did like a mashup,
yeah,
like a live mashup.
Yeah, I like that.
And I texted you and I said, "Is Lil Wayne nice?" And your response back was so casual. Yeah, he's great.
He is.
I was like, dude, you can't do that about Lil Wayne.
No, he's great. He was super cool. He very. Friendly, professional, showed up. We knocked out all the stuff that we needed to do. And, like, they said we were going to be done at 10 o'clock at night. We were done at, like, 7:30.
Because you have no standards. And that's important. You have no standards. You can cut stuff early, right?
No, we were great. We nailed everything.
You were great.
Yeah, we did awesome. But the crazy thing is, like, we thought this was such a cool thing. Like, you know, we're taking Lil Wayne out on tour, and it's going to be these different shows, and it's going to be hip-hop, and there's going to be punk rock, and there's going to be all this different thing. And all these people, for some reason, thought that Lil Wayne was going to come out and sing all of our songs because we announced it as a mashup. So there was this whole thing of like, I mean, I love both artists, but I really would like to see Lil Wayne do his set and you guys do your set.
So they want to see what you planned.
Yes, exactly.
Basically.
So we're going to do that.
You guys were like Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, did you get the sense at all that Lil Wayne was into your band?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Lil Wayne is, I mean, he put out a rock record.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's why I think that this tour is going to make so much sense is because he does like this whole he's a hip hop artist, but he brings out a rock band and he's very involved in like the skate scene and things like that and X Games stuff. So there's kind of a good crossover there.
Are you going to come out on his songs
if he invites me? Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I think you'll fit in. Maybe do a quick 16 on a milli.
We had to do this one thing where we had to stand in front of a camera, and for promotion we had to say, like, you know, there were certain lines that he was supposed to say and we were supposed to say, and somehow I got stuck with so make sure you cop those tickets for the tour this summer.
Didn't you go can't pull it off.
I You know what? I just went with it.
All right.
And so, you know, it's me saying, and make sure you cop those tickets for the tour this summer.
Wow, what a narc.
Yeah. It was fully like the Steve Buscemi. Yeah. Hello, fellow teenagers.
Now, Mark, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have resisted getting a tattoo to this point in your life, right?
I have two tattoos. I have my son's name and my wife's name.
Oh, okay. They're little compared to Travis, though.
Yeah.
How about if you and Lil Wayne got some matching tattoos? Would that be the coolest thing ever?
It would be really cool. Story for like a month. And then it'd be a really strange story for the rest of my life. Yes. I'm 60 and 70 years old.
You have a saggy Lil Wayne on your back.
Why do you have like a cup of lean tattooed on your shoulder blade?
Oh, that's because I asked kids to cop tickets once.
The Blink 182 tour with Lil Wayne and Neck Deep is going to be playing August 8th at the Forum, August 27th at the Five Point Amphitheater in Irvine. Tickets available now through livenation.com. On sale now. We should also mention the other aspect of this show, this tour,
is the Anthem of the State is turning 20. Now, tell me how this decision came to be made that you were going to celebrate that.
Well, it was the 20th anniversary of Anthem of the State, and we had this idea to play it in its entirety at the Back to the Beach, and we enjoyed it so much that we were like, we should just do that this summer, as well as adding in songs from the new record that's going to be coming out later this summer, and playing the old hits, as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it just felt like a nice segue into 2019 summer.
This morning when I started teasing it, I said enema a front to back, thinking that everyone knew what that meant. Bean's like, maybe you should say the whole title.
Have you ever played an album all the way through?
We did for the anniversary of the 10th anniversary of the Untitled album. We played it at the Wiltern and at the Palladium in its entirety, right, as well.
And Anima was, that was Adam's song, right? And,
it was.
What's My Age Again also was on that?
Yeah, What's My Age Again, All the Small Things, Adam's songs. You might recognize All the Small Things from the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Which I notice is number one on your IMDb.
It is, yes.
Your resume page, your proudest of. All right, Mark Hoppus is here. We understand that Travis is quickly behind you. He'll be walking in any second. Any word from Matt? What's Matt up to?
He's probably hanging upside down in his coffin, you know.
All right. I can accept that.
With an IV of blood going straight into a... Yeah, I don't know.
More least, than we expected.
At least everything's still coming together for Blink-182.
Now, we're going to take a quick break. Mark, when we come back, true or not true that you have... Even though we've all described all this amazing stuff that's happening with the band this summer, you have something else new to tell us about that we haven't heard yet.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
No.
Yes.
Tell me who this is.
Yes.
We understand there's a Blink secret that's about to be revealed here on K-Rock.
Oh, my God. I don't...
He
okay.
doesn't know, Bean. Let's just act like
it
he
does.
Maybe we misheard. It's a secret to Blink-182.
Yeah. I'm going to find out what it is during the commercial break. There are so many secrets that I'm not allowed to divulge that I don't want to come back and spill the wrong bean.
Okay. Oh. Fair.
Keep it a bean.
Yeah. Fair enough. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Hey, Travis is here.
Yeah. Travis. Hey. I'm so sorry for the journey that you had to take to get here to K-Rock this morning. Traffic sucks, dude.
I'll do it for you guys.
Can you move closer?
Yeah.
Not to the mic, but I mean to the station.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But also both. Yeah.
Travis, aren't you, I mean, forgive me for saying this, but aren't you helicopter rich, man? Shouldn't you just be landing on the roof of this building by now? Why are you driving?
Except for that I don't fly.
Of course,
absolutely.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, you're the wrong guy to ask.
I was actually debating right before my accident and getting a helicopter.
You were.
Or just using one more often.
Yeah. You were like today. Would have been nice.
Oh, my gosh. This is like, yeah, L.A. freeways are vicious.
Yeah, they are, yeah. It's rough. Well, they're not building any new ones, and people keep moving here, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We got two-thirds of Blink-182 in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Mark Hoppus, Travis Barker are here. Travis, while you were on the way, we were talking about the big anniversary plans for the tour with Anthem of the State being performed in its entirety. Special guest Lil Wayne and Neck Deep. You know, we were talking, Mark was saying how he didn't anticipate getting on stage with Lil Wayne during his set. Any chance you'll get on stage with Lil Wayne, do a little drumming during his set?
I wouldn't doubt if I will. Like, I did, and when I toured with him in 2006, we would do stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a possibility.
Here's what I assume. I assume all bands that are on stage, if Travis walks out, the drummer just gets up and walks off. All right.
Throws down his drumsticks, gets in a car, and drives home.
Or maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe something will happen that'll be cool, you know? Wayne loves rock music.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about that. Yeah. And it sounds like a perfect tour to us.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
This announcement, Mark, you have been well briefed on now.
Honestly, I thought this secret was out so long ago that I didn't realize it was still a secret. I thought you were going to be like, album title, release date.
I mean, we have a better thing.
Yeah, we have a much better thing than that.
Jeez, Mark, good sell.
This is a fan participate. This is something for the fans. Yeah. This is something for K-Rock listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We are throwing a secret show before we embark on this summer-long tour, and we're mm-hmm. going to invite some of your lovely listeners to come and join us.
How about that?
This mm-hmm. is what they call basically a friends and family show. So mm-hmm. if you win these tickets, you are automatically a friend and or family of Blink-182.
Probably friend.
Probably okay. friend.
Could be anything.
We can announce the date.
Yes.
June 20th.
June 20th, yeah.
Which is right around the corner, but we can't announce the venue because that's what makes it a secret show. So if you are a super Blink-182 fan, let's go ahead and give away the tickets now. Travis, pick a number between 1 and 100, please.
Six.
I thought you were going 72 for sure.
Can you move closer to the microphone?
Six.
There you go. Thank you.
Six. Okay.
Wow, so, his voice is so deep when it's closer to the mic.
I just want you to be heard. That's all.
So caller six right now at 1-800-520-1067. You win the very first pair of tickets for the Blink-182 Secret Show, and we'll continue to give them away. By the way, in case you're waiting for on-sale information, there is none.
You cannot buy a ticket to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are just giving them away here on K-Rock.
There's only so many people they can get into the Dave and Buster's on Hollywood and Vine.
We're not saying we're not saying we're
that's not David Buster's.
It's the Ripley's Believe It or Not building.
Oh, the street.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I take a one-minute B diversion with Mark Hoppus?
Please.
Yeah, please do.
But wait, hold on. Promise it's 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Go.
But wait, the minutes doesn't start until he starts talking. No, no. I get to say my part, and then he gets a minute.
Okay,
how
great.
Does that
okay,
work?
He gets okay. a minute. Okay, here's the thing, Mark. I was very excited when I came in today because I have a bee swarm in my yard right now.
Okay.
I have over 2,000 bees right now, and you know what happens when the beehive splits into two because
you
got two queens?
Yes.
So I have this swarm, and I'm just in love with it right now. So
your question is taking a minute.
I haven't gotten there yet. So Jensen says to me, he says, you should be a beekeeper like my friend Mark Hoppus. And I said, Mark Hoppus was a beekeeper?
Absolutely.
Start the timer. Tell me about it.
I moved to the UK, and we had a farm out in the countryside of Somerset, and I started keeping bees, and the science of it is incredible. And once you realize what the bees do every single year to build up their hive, to select a queen, to split the hive.
That was not a minute.
Time flies.
When you're having so much fun. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's great. Like, making your own honey and having your own bees is incredible. That's
okay.
It. It's well worth the time.
You, like, bottled your own honey.
I bottled my own honey. I had my own queens. I did the whole smoke the thing and
you
take the stuff out and the outfit.
Amazing.
I got stung a lot.
Why'd you live in England for 3 years?
We just wanted a change of life, and we wanted our son to experience the world, so we always loved the UK, and it was awesome. I would have stayed there longer, except that our visas expired, and we would have had to...
They literally kicked you out.
They kicked me out.
Hmm. Travis, besides drumming, what other hobbies have you had in your life?
Skateboarding, boxing, Muay Thai.
Hey, you're a big UFC fan.
Producing, yeah.
Needlepoint.
Mainly I produce. That's mainly what I do. Like, probably like 80% of my time.
And never been a car guy?
Yeah. Oh, that
sure.
That whole car thing, tattoos. I kind of have a bunch of stuff I like in my spare time.
You have spare time? Do you technically have spare time?
Not really. Like, I'll be in the studio getting tattooed while I'm...
While you're doing
you
a project.
Were, last interview you did on our show, you were getting tattooed.
True.
True. The interview.
What's crazy is that it being the 20th anniversary of Enema of the State, we're seeing all these old pictures, and Travis looks like a newborn baby. You know, I mean, he had like probably 30 tattoos at that point,
sure.
But still we're like, oh, look at Travis. He barely covered it all.
He
has tattoos over both arms, neck,
when he
chest.
Was in here, I said, do you have an open spot? He goes, no, I'm just putting it over another one.
Yeah.
And remember, I suggested the taint should be next, and then we had to explain to Travis what a taint was.
Travis didn't know what a taint was.
I remember that.
Yeah.
What do you guys remember about, since we're reminiscing about Enema of the State? I mean, obviously that was a huge, huge, huge breakthrough record for you guys. Did it feel special and different in the studio, or as you were writing those songs, did you realize you would achieve some sort of new level of accomplishment?
I felt like we were writing the best Blink-182 album that we'd ever recorded. I didn't know how people were going to react to it, but we certainly thought that we were making a record that we were very proud of. I don't think that any of us realized that 20 years on it would be this important a record to us and just in general, I guess.
How could you guess that?
But it was fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun in the studio.
Yeah, it was. I think it was really quick for me. I think I was only in there. I think the writing process was different than because we were all in a room and like you really write the songs in like a rehearsal room, and then you go in and record the songs and the whole structure of the songs accounted for. So I think I went in and recorded my drums in like a couple hours in a day, right?
A few, I think we're in a studio called the Mad Hatter.
Yes, Chicoria's studio.
Chicoria's old studio. I think we were there for maybe 3 days total.
Yeah.
3 or 4 days.
That's insane.
I just remember lots of coffee and cigarettes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And literally
during those 3 days, I remember Travis was recording drums. Tom and I walked over to a grocery store down the street, and Tom bought an enema to use. So it kind of all tied together. It's
okay.
A true story.
That's beautiful.
Is that where it came from?
I think we had Enema of the State after that. I don't think we'd had a title at that point.
Yeah, I think it was
slightly. So you saw the enema, and then you said.
Yeah. Post your guys' addiction with enemas after, after Chicoria Studio. I don't know what it was.
And then you started doing them too, Mark?
No, no, no. I've never had one.
That seems like a lie.
Well,
all right,
bring
in the doctor.
Bring
in the doctor.
Yeah.
It's not a lie.
Try one.
Bring in whomever. I'll look him straight in the eye.
Oh, no. We just meant to give you an enema.
Oh,
now.
I
now,
see.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what he meant, too.
Oh, yeah.
Look him straight in the eye.
I thought lie detector test. That was, wow. I was way off.
We believe you.
Strap that thing around me. I'll look him right in the eye.
That was pretty aggressive. I got to be honest.
It is such a weird thing that we hear from so many artists that you don't know what the reaction is going to be outside of the room. I mean, at one point, it's just a handful of people who know these songs, and then they're unleashed. And then you kind of lose control of them, I guess, because they become the world.
Yeah, it was really cool. One of my favorite memories, and I told this to Stryker a few weeks ago, was we were actually still recording Enema the State. We were in Conway. And I was with Jerry Finn, our producer, and we had just finished. I just sang a song called "The Party Song," and we left to go get something to drink in Hollywood. And as we were driving out, K-Rock played "What's My Age Again" for the first time ever. It was the world premiere, and it was like that scene in "That Thing You Do" where they hear a song on the radio for the first time, and you just want to stick your head out the window and scream. and it was awesome. And so I still remember that happening.
And this was like the TRL album. This was when like everything became focused on your visuals, and it was like it went from sort of being everyone's best kept secret in San Diego and LA to like it was the world's album.
It was really strange. Yeah. It was fun.
Travis, how did that affect you being famous out of the gate, you know, being recognizable to everybody?
I don't know. I didn't really think about it. I think, like, this whole time, like, I don't think I'll, like, stop and look back until I'm, like, over it all.
So you still not...
No, I don't really, like...
No way to look at the career?
No, I don't really, like, sit and, like, think or reminisce on, like, what stuff was, like, head down, like, working, enjoying myself, loving what I do, and then, I don't know, I'll think back one day.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think back all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
All Mark does is think back. I wish I was keeping bees still.
Right? Oh, I love those bees.
Yeah, those bees were great.
Is there a song, and I'm sure there is, and maybe you don't even remember, is there a song that you guys love that just failed to connect?
Actually, speaking of the party song, that's been something that is a really energetic, fun, amazing song, and we played it for the first time in, like, I don't know. I don't know if we'd ever played it live until we played it in Las Vegas last year at
so
our
residency?
Vegas residency. Yeah. Yeah. And we thought, oh, people are going to go nuts for this. And we played it, and people largely just stood there and stared at us.
It's got to be so weird in your career at this point.
I'm like, no, it's a party song, you guys.
But it's Vegas, too.
That's
like,
Vegas.
Vegas is like, I don't know if you get like, I mean, there was obviously true fans there, but I think you get like a Vegas crowd, too.
You get a lot of tourists.
They know like your hits, you know.
Yeah.
But I think when we play it on... When we played it at Back to the Beach, it went crazy.
Yeah, of course.
It was good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that was the one time that I really expected a song to just land.
Yeah.
And I think that the crowd that night just was not having
What's
it.
What's next?
Yeah.
Did you guys, were the dates set up like a couple days apart so you actually spent some time in Las Vegas, or did you commute basically for those dates?
We commuted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't have to spend much time.
I don't connect Mark Hoppus with Vegas very closely.
No, not much.
Yeah. When I go to Vegas, I literally, like, I'm in my room. I walk out, I play the show, I walk back to my room. And that's
never
pretty
gambled.
Much it. I don't know. I don't gamble.
But never. I mean, that's different than not gambling. It's just like one time?
Well, I've gambled in my life.
Okay.
Literally one time when Blink was very first starting out and we played a show in Las Vegas and we could barely afford to eat at this awful all-you-can-eat buffet.
It's the best time to gamble.
And I had a nickel and I went to one of these Keno machines and I put a nickel in and I just randomly pulled the light pen and just kind of scribbled across the screen and hit enter and I won $45 off of a nickel.
How are you not an endless gambling addict now? That's the worst thing that could happen.
I mean, $45 at that point was like, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
I can buy CDs. I have disposable income.
Did you guys like the residency and will you do it again? Or was it just a one-time thing and it was fine, but it's a different crowd?
It was super fun.
Yeah.
We loved playing it. It was great. Yeah. It's weird being in Vegas for that long.
Yeah.
I will say that. And I have a lot of respect for artists that are there so much that they actually move to Las Vegas for months and months and months at a time. I don't know that I have that kind of endurance.
I would kill myself if that
being
happened.
In Vegas,
I would. I would stay out too late, and I would drink too much, and I would be, you know.
See, gone. It's the opposite for me. Being in Vegas is like being a cop, where you're seeing people at their absolute worst. You see the
you
basis
see me
of humanity.
At my absolute
like,
worst.
You see people at their drunkest, people at, you know, just at either at the top or at rock bottom.
Why are you looking at me?
A couple more questions.
It was the interview that we needed.
It was interesting. Was it? Did you guys post a photo from that?
Yes,
on
we
your,
did.
Yeah.
We did.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could
so,
you feel
so
it?
Funny. Yeah, I could feel it.
You could smell the alcohol on the picture. On the picture.
They told a couple us, don't more smoke, things, she's gonna by go the way.
And then we're gonna talk to the one and only winner. We have her on the phone who is going to be coming to the Secret Show. But let me ask just real quick, because we got some Twitter questions last night. Initially, you guys predicted a June album release, but that is no longer the plan. And what's going on? When is it just taking longer than it's expected, or was there some sort of change in the album's direction? Is from Chris.
We are so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
guys are teases.
No, the thing is that we started writing this album probably, I don't know, almost a year ago, and we really started getting into it a few months ago, and we keep writing, touch wood and thank God, better and better and better songs. So we keep adding songs to the record and going back and mixing things and adding more songs. So it's getting pushed back, but not terribly, but just by a couple of months, I think.
I feel like it would be hard to just stop and say, okay, that's it. That would be a difficult thing.
And that's the hardest part of writing songs and putting together a record, is finally saying, okay, this is the body of work for this period of time, and we're going to call it done, and we're going to turn it in, and that's it. There's no more on this record. But I think that, especially with Blink-182 in 2019, and with our new label Columbia, we're going to release a record, then we're going to release some other stuff, and I think with the era of streaming and stuff, it's not like back in the day where you released an album and then you toured for 3 years and then you released another album.
Right.
Always new music, always new stuff. Play a lot of shows and have a lot of fun.
Great. Jules writes in, whatever happened to Travis Barker's documentary? Didn't you tell us something about that at one point too, Travis?
Yeah, I'm actually finishing it. The thing is, okay, so it's not my documentary. It's a documentary that Interscope is doing.
On you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just... I'm just the subject matter. I'm unfortunately not in control of it. So I don't, it's in their hands, but yeah,
it's getting close as far as you know.
What are you hearing?
What do you mean?
What are you hearing as far as when it might come out? This year?
I'm
next
hearing
year?
Like, we need to schedule time because you promised us an interview. Okay. So I'm just trying
to
like
set
that up. That's a big
part of a documentary.
Yeah, so I guess like,
what is you?
I'm actually kind of holding it up.
You
but,
should be in it. I think you should be in it, Travis.
Yeah.
All right, last question from Twitter. Johnny, who's the best at Mario Kart in the band?
Oh, I am by far.
I would assume Mark.
Mark,
yeah.
Okay.
Travis,
all right,
Travis,
by far.
In the whole history of the time that I've known Travis, when Travis, we got our first check, I know that Travis bought a house, and then he went and he bought a PlayStation. Is that what you bought? And you got really into like Grand Theft Auto for like a week.
And then I never played it.
And like went nuts with it. Like wouldn't leave the house, got food brought in, went crazy with it, and then was like, this is a total waste of my time. I'm never playing video games again. And
wow.
I don't think you have.
Just
playing
on
drums is kind of like a video game. Like I did it last night for like an hour and a half where I just sit and try to figure something out, and the next thing you know, like an hour and a half goes by. And you,
boring.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's so
no.
Listen, I find it fascinating that you can entertain yourself with something like that. Like when I'm by myself, I can't. I need to watch something, do something. When you're there, you just play drums and you just...
Yeah, I kind of feel crummy if I don't. It's weird.
Well, that's why you're the best at what you do in the whole world,
I'm
Travis.
Working
is because
on,
you're committed
working
to
on
it.
Being the best.
You know, I
mean,
I guarantee Albert Pujols still takes a lot of batting practice.
What
you,
the
you,
hell?
You would say,
I have no idea.
Hit it again. File that one.
Yeah. Pujols, are we talking enema again?
I'm saying a guy like that, you go, oh, he doesn't need to worry about that because he's so great. But the reality is that's why he's great, is because he puts the time in. All right, before we let you go, Secret Show, June 20th. If you can't buy tickets, you can only win them. Let's say hi to Sylvia because she's been kind enough to hang on. She is right now the only person, guys, who's going to be in the audience for that Blink 182 secret
we
show.
Should stop it right here and just have Sylvia.
Just her.
Yeah. Solo show.
Sylvia, did you want to talk to the guys?
Yeah. They're my family now, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, guys. I just want to say this UTI is totally worth it. I've been holding my pee for like 30 minutes.
We're so sorry.
I'm very sorry about that.
We're so sorry.
Amazing. No, it's totally worth it. Totally worth it. I'm so freaking excited. I have never won tickets to anything before, and for this to be my first thing ever, it's freaking amazing. I've been a fan since like the early 90s. You guys are amazing. I honestly was just calling to talk to Allie and tell her I love her.
Wow.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You. Let's get you some amoxicillin. Yeah.
All right. Go pee, and we'll see you at the Secret Show. Thank you very much. How sweet is
thank
that?
You so awesome. Much.
Thank you, Sylvia.
All right, Mark and Travis, it goes without saying that we love you. Thank you for coming in. We've really enjoyed it.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
And I hope Matt turns up alive.
Yeah, who knows?
We hope we get some good news for him. Please text and make sure he's doing okay.
It is 9:43.
It's a delightful group of young men right there in Blink-182.
They rule.
They're the funnest. The funnest.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Been the funnest forever.
Agreed.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, from the funnest group to Radiohead.
What's going on?
Radiohead has officially released 18 hours of demos and outtakes recorded between 1995 and 1998 during the band's OK Computer sessions.
Hold up.
After the tapes were reportedly stolen and leaked online.
I'm sorry, how many hours?
18 hours.
It's all great.
Yeah. In a statement from the group's website, guitarist Johnny Greenwood says, "We got hacked last week. Someone stole Tom York's mini disc archive from around the time of OK Computer and reportedly demanded $150,000 or threat of releasing it. So instead of complaining or ignoring it, we're releasing all 18 hours on Bandcamp in aid of Extinction Rebellion." So, there you go. However, the 18 tracks of raw audio are identified only by number, so discovering what songs are actually on the disc will be a bit of a little Easter egg hunt, and only available for the next 18 days.
There are some people who are really into a band, mm-hmm. who enjoy hearing how a song comes together.
Sure.
They enjoy
rough
hearing the various parts, mm-hmm. and the various takes and the different tempos and how they rearrange and change words as it goes. I'm not necessarily that person.
Okay.
I think I'm okay with the way the song ends up being the best that that song can be. Mm-hmm. But for some people out there, they'll be thrilled by this.
I assume in 18 hours, though, they're also putting stuff out that they didn't include on the album.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And there's stuff that ended up on later albums and whatnot.
Alternate takes and stuff.
I mean, you do see, especially with the bigger bands like your Beatles and things, I mean, you'll see bootlegs where they have 28 takes of Twist and Shout or something. And you're just like, well, I don't need them all, you know? Mm-hmm. But some people are really into that.
Some people are.
Some people are.
Says the guy who's listening to like 300 hours of top 40 radio tapes right now.
Yeah.
He's like,
from 1981.
I have to call it a day. Sometimes it's too much, says the psychopath over there.
I love it. You guys, singer, YouTube star, Dance Moms alum JoJo Siwa, who Jensen introduced us to, and quite frankly, I had forgotten about as soon as it was over, because mm-hmm. it was, wow, she's a lot. Well, she has had her makeup kit pulled from Claire's accessory stores after the FDA found that the powder eyeshadows in the kit tested positive for asbestos.
I'm sorry, did you say asbestos?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
I feel like you don't want that near you, let alone on your eyelid.
How's that possible?
I don't know. But that's the FDA released a statement about the findings. Claire's said, yep, we took it out, recalled it out of an abundance of caution. And,
Don't yell at Allie. Yell at the Chinese teenagers who are, you know, putting this cosmetics together.
Wow, why they got to be Chinese?
Mm. It's probably because it's true.
Okay.
I think that's where most things are made.
Well, I was thinking, would you rather have asbestos in your makeup or this situation? A YouTube beauty guru has been accused of releasing a cosmetic line that features lipstick that is described as, quote, lumpy and hairy.
Mm. Oh my God.
Those were two of the Marx Brothers.
I believe so. Jaclyn Hill released Jaclyn Cosmetics 2 weeks ago, and fans took to social media to complain about some defective products, and some posted pictures of the lumpy and hairy lipsticks. So she obviously freaks out about this and takes to Twitter to respond, saying, "If any of you are receiving lipsticks like this, please let us know and that it is not hair. My factory used brand new white gloves to do quality control, and they shed all over my product. So they were using these gloves that were getting little hairs into the lipstick, and people thought it was like real human hair.
Well, this just becomes a thing.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Hairy lipstick.
Hairy lipstick.
Excellent. Well, she said, "We switched to rubber gloves 2 days ago, and we will make sure that this never happens again." What if now they're like lumpy and rubbery? I don't know.
Better than hairy.
The next trend in makeup, Kylie Jenner selling hair lipstick.
Yep.
I mean, you guys.
I'd like to see it.
You guys. Hey. Hey. There's a new ranking of the top U.S. states when it comes to having a good time. Wallet Hub looked at 26 factors related to entertainment, nightlife, recreation, restaurants, amusement parks, golf courses, theaters, arcades, casinos, music festivals, beaches, national parks, local bars.
Can I guess?
What do you think is the... I've got the top 10 here, but...
Baker just dropped the S word. Jesus.
Unbelievable. I mean...
I have to pee, but I'll take a guess before I step out.
You're going to get a UTI like Sylvia?
I'm feeling like
no, he's actually just going to step out.
I'm going to step out and go pee right now, but okay. I'm going to guess South Dakota before I go.
Okay,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Austin.
Not a state! Texas is number 10.
California. Mm-hmm.
California is number one.
Okay, New York.
Number three.
Did we say Texas?
Texas is number 10.
Nevada. Okay.
Yes. Six.
She's counting on her fingers.
Yeah, they're not. They're not numbered.
Arizona.
No. You been there?
Illinois.
No.
I'm just trying to think of big cities. Here.
Did we say Florida?
You didn't. Florida. Number two.
Okay.
Wow. Yes.
I'll go to Montana.
No.
Maine?
No.
New Hampshire.
You have never been to any of these states.
I'm just saying states now.
Think of where Bean is right now.
Oh, well, right now he's in Seattle, Washington.
Yes, so yeah. Washington came in number four.
Louisiana.
Louisiana, no.
Well, that's a good guess.
Well, Louisiana should have been
there. I would think that would have been higher than...
Think about a place that is, they have amazing recreation in the state. They have great music festivals in the state. Great beers in this state.
This is a lot of states.
A lot of weed in this state.
Colorado,
yes.
Everybody. Colorado,
yeah, thanks, Bane. Well, how's the pee?
Did you do that while peeing?
That's good. No, I'm back. Thanks.
Oh. Okay. All right, so let me just go through the top 10. 10, Texas. 9, Oregon. 8, Pennsylvania. 7, Minnesota.
Good. I like Minnesota. Yeah.
There you go. 6, Nevada. 5, Colorado. 4, Washington. 3, New York. 2, Florida. And reigning supreme, mm-hmm. We have the best time.
I mean, yeah, but don't tell people
California.
That. Don't
yeah,
tell...
we're full. We're full. We're full.
You can't come in. We built a wall.
Did no one guess Nevada, by the way?
I did. Yeah, it
was okay, good. Yeah. I was going to make sure. Las Vegas would have to be on that list.
Mid-pee.
I got all of them while you were peeing.
Okay.
It's crazy.
So if I go back and uh-huh. check the tape, mm-hmm. that yep. is what I will hear.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Of them.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did, of course, say Austin, and we had to correct him again that it's not a goddamn street. Yeah.
Kevin does have problems with the distinction between the two.
I enjoy it.
I was impressed he came up with Illinois. I'm stunned that he knew that Chicago was in Illinois. Stunned.
We don't know that he thought Chicago was in Illinois.
That is why I chose Illinois.
Oh.
Okay.
I also mouthed Chicago first and then realized, oh no, that's a city.
You are a miracle. Some birthdays for you. Hugh Laurie, Joshua Jackson, Peter Dinklage, and Shia LaBeouf.
Sorry, I wasn't ready.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face. My God, there's blood everywhere.
Running for your life from Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows, Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf.
Maybe my favorite song of all time.
Let's give it one more try. Let's get back in the groove.
That was Shia asking you to play it again.
Wow.
Oh, he wants to hear it again?
Well, maybe just the actual cannibal.
You're looking for your car, but you're all turned around. He's almost upon you now, and you can see there's blood on his face.
All right, we just heard that,
yep.
So we know how that
Moving
goes.
Moving on.
Okay. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Elliot. 5 p.m. commercial free hour. Tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. Louis Anderson is going to be on because you know what's coming back?
Baskets. Oh, the diving show.
Baskets. Plus, you get a pair of tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw, and we've got your 4-pack of passes to K Rock Advanced Screening of Toy Story.